April, so you know what that means. Hot cars! And Cool April Nights is back, April 19th to the 28th. It's going to be bigger than ever. So mark your calendar for 10 days of classic car fun. This year has more show and shines, a drive-in movie, cornhole tournament with $1,000 in prizes. Don't forget to dust off your lawn chairs for the big cruise on Friday, April 26th. End the week by coming to the biggest show and shine of them all at the Civic Auditorium on Saturday, April 27th. There will be 2,000 classic cars on display, tons of great food, a variety of vendors, and lots of chances to win prizes at our annual Poker Walk or Raffle City. Get your tickets today at any of the 8 local Napa Auto Parts stores to avoid the line. Cool April Nights returns April 19th to the 28th, so mark your calendars. For a full schedule of events, go to CoolAprilNights.com. That's CoolAprilNights.com.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Bench Bureau Show. So yesterday, O.J. Simpson died at the age of 76, and the media didn't quite know what to do with that. They didn't know what to do with that because, of course, O.J. Simpson was a murderer, and everyone knows that he was a murderer, but he spent the last half of his life being treated by some of the media as though he was instead a sort of controversial figure. A headline from the Washington Post sort of sums this up. How will O.J. Simpson be remembered? The answer for everyone who remembers the O.J. Simpson murder trial is he will be remembered as a person who very obviously murdered his ex-wife and a person named Ron Goldman, and then who proceeded to be alleviated of the criminal responsibility for that double murder by a jury of people who were politically motivated. To the celebration of a wide swath of the American population, he will be remembered as a person who really widened the gap between the races in the United States in a dramatic way and in a way that in some ways has never truly closed. It seemed like between O.J. Simpson and the election of Barack Obama, America was becoming more racially reconciliatory. And then Barack Obama opened those gaps wide again in 2010, 2011, 2012. But the O.J. Simpson trial was the moment when Americans realized that the attempts of the 1960s and the 1970s to move beyond America's terrible history of racism, that had some pretty impactful consequences, and that there were two sides to the racial conflict in the United States. Because up until the civil rights movement, there really was only one side. That side was American white supremacists treating black people as chattel, and then American white supremacists treating black people as trash. And then after the civil rights movement, the idea was, okay, we're going to put all of that behind us. We're now going to move forward in a country that tries to actually meet the guarantees of the Declaration of Independence, that all men are created equal. And then in the O.J. Simpson trial, it became very clear to a lot of Americans that the standard of equal justice for all, it was not only a matter of could that be reached. It was a matter of did everyone want that standard to be reached? That's what the O.J. Simpson trial meant for a lot of people. And that's what he will be remembered for, as a double murderer who got away with it for racial political reasons. So as I say, he died yesterday at the age of 76. He left in his wake still the families of Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown, without obviously members of their families who he had brutally slain. Not just that, he still owed more than $100 million to their families because they won civil trials against him after losing the criminal trial in favor of convicting him. The evidence against O.J., for those who weren't alive for this, was overwhelming. And if you weren't alive for the O.J. Simpson trial, if you were born afterward or if you don't remember it very well, it was one of the signal events in truly American history. Like, there are very few places in your memory that you can remember where you were when the thing happened. For people who are older than I, Pearl Harbor or the moon landing. For people of my age, the two events that come to mind where you knew where you were when it happened were the O.J. Simpson verdict and 9/11. Those were the two events where you really know where you were. I was in a classroom in Los Angeles where the trial was taking place, and they actually wheeled a television into the classroom, the public school classroom I was attending. And I remember vividly that as they announced the verdict on the TV in the public school classroom where I was going to school, the racial breakdown in the class was perfectly obvious. Every kid who was not white was celebratory about the verdict, and every kid who was white was sort of shocked by the verdict. Because here's the thing. Everyone knew O.J. was guilty. No one legitimately believed that O.J. was innocent. It was just a question of whether you wanted to see him acquitted because of racial reasons. And those racial reasons were explained at the time and even now by people who believe that somehow some sort of revenge was deserved for America's terrible racial history by allowing a black man who had largely traveled in white circles. O.J. Simpson was seen as someone who did not want to be seen as a black person in the United States for large parts of his career. He wanted to be seen as just a famous person, as an athlete. He didn't live in the black areas of Los Angeles. He lived in Brentwood, which is a very white area of Los Angeles. And yet, after he killed two white people, suddenly his cause became a quote-unquote racial cause. And that racial logic has kept up even until today. I think the single best take on this, in terms of clarifying where people stood on OJ, and still, in some sense, stand on racial politics, particularly on the left, was from Mark Lamont Hill. So Mark Lamont Hill, of course, a very radical person. Mark Lamont Hill is a true believer in the perverse ideology of diversity, equity, inclusion, critical race theory. He's a really true believer in the idea that if you are a member of a quote-unquote victimized group, that you are now absolved from all responsibility because of the evils of the society that surrounds you. And that evidence of your membership in a victimized group is the underperformance of that group. Underperformance equals victimhood. We'll get to more on this in just one second. First.
Hey, everyone. This is Daily Wire Editor-in-Chief John Bickley with Georgia Howe.
We co-host Morning Wire, the daily news podcast created to bring more balance to the national conversation.
We give you the news you need to know in 15 minutes or less without the mainstream spin.
Join us and get the facts first with a new episode every morning.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Daily Wire Plus, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
So Mark Lamont Hill tweeted out yesterday, quote, O.J. Simpson was an abusive liar who abandoned his community long before he killed two people in cold blood. His acquittal for murder was the correct and necessary result of a racist criminal legal system, but he's still a monster, not a martyr. Now, if you read the first sentence and the last sentence of that tweet, they go together, right? O.J. Simpson was an abusive liar, and also he was a monster, not a martyr. But the middle sentence, where he says that his acquittal was necessary, it was correct, it was the result of a racist criminal legal system, is the truly astonishing part. So he's acknowledging full on O.J. Simpson murdered two people in cold blood, and that he was a monster, but he still deserved to be acquitted. No country, obviously, can survive for very long on the basis that as long as you are a member of a particular race, that you deserve to be acquitted for the murder of somebody else of another race. I mean, that sort of pure, unbridled hatred and racism wrecks societies. And it was made very clear that that was the case in 1995 when the verdict came down. And it was made very clear that that was, in fact, the case today for a lot of people on the political left, unfortunately. I just want to go through this for a moment because, again, a lot of people don't remember. This is a long time ago. And for people like me, it seems like it was fairly recent. But 1995, when the verdict actually came down, that's a lifetime ago. So the evidence against O.J. Simpson was incredibly stacked. So O.J. murdered Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman June 12th, 1994. There's tremendous evidence that he did it. This is not a case where there's a lot of controversy about what happened. Everyone knows what happened. First of all, he had a history of allegedly abusing Nicole Brown Simpson. She'd called the cops on him before for having abused her. She actually told the cops at one point that he was going to kill her. But the actual crime scene was just a treasure trove for the police. There were blood drops on a gate at the murder scene, near bloody shoe prints at the crime scene. All of those contained O.J. Simpson's genetic markings. When Simpson was interviewed by police, he had a cut on his finger that was presumably the source of the blood. There was a giant Heiress leather glove found at the murder scene near the bodies. Its mate was found on Simpson's estate. Both gloves were covered in blood. And both gloves also had Simpson's genetic markers, as well as markers from Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman. Hairs that were similar to O.J.'s hair were found in a knit cap at the crime scene. Strands of hair were recovered from Ron Goldman's shirt. They were also identical to Simpson's head hair. There were bloody shoe prints found at the crime scene, matching, very famously, size 12 Bruno Magli shoes. That shoe is a unique Italian-made model, and they were Simpson's shoes. Bloody socks were found in Simpson's bedroom, and that blood had both his genetic markers and Nicole Brown Simpson's genetic markers on them. So, I mean, this was an open and shut criminal case. And everybody who has tried to make this into the failures of lawyering on the part of the prosecution It's a whole series that was made on FX where it was all about the errors of lawyering. This case was lost, as it turns out, the minute that the jurisdiction over the case was transferred from Brentwood to downtown Los Angeles, which was, in fact, the fault of Gil Garcetti, the father of the future mayor, Eric Garcetti. Gil Garcetti was the DA at the time, and he moved the case from Brentwood, which is a largely white area where OJ undoubtedly would have been convicted correctly, to downtown Los Angeles, where the jury pool was significantly more black. And the jury that ended up acquitting OJ Simpson was, in fact, majority minority. The OJ Simpson story is a reminder that criminal justice can be used as a piece of a movement. Now, one of the things that's so obvious about OJ's guilt, and we see this now, is that political movements, when they pick their victims, according to the political left, the true victim of the OJ Simpson story was actually OJ Simpson. Because OJ had been wrongfully targeted by the police. We'll go through some of the evidence in a minute and what happened at trial and the attempts to basically say that because one police officer said racist things, therefore OJ could be acquitted for murdering two people. But the reason that so many members of the political left and the racial left glommed onto the OJ case is because he was a bad example. And sometimes it's hard to understand in American politics why it is that certain cases become national stories while other cases don't. There are undoubtedly cases that we never hear of actual crimes in which a racist police officer harms a black person and then is convicted and then goes to jail. And we never hear those cases when the evidence is clearly against the officer. The cases we always hear are the cases of bad examples. Michael Brown, who tried to grab a gun off a police officer, or Breonna Taylor, who was staying at her boyfriend's apartment when she was accidentally shot by police after they warned that they were coming in the door, or George Floyd, who was high as a kite and saying he couldn't breathe before he was even taken out of the car, and no allegations were even made at trial against Derek Chauvin, suggesting that Chauvin was a racist. Bad examples must be picked and sides must be taken based on the bad examples. Because as in every political context, showing that you have political fealty to a particular position requires you to take positions that are untenable. The more faith you show in the political narrative, the more you're willing to pick a bad example and say, even this bad example applies to my narrative. And OJ was the worst example of all. As we say, OJ was not somebody who had historically associated himself with the race question in America. OJ historically was not somebody who had drawn particularly close to black activism, for example, so he wasn't targeted for his politics. OJ happened to be unbelievably clearly guilty of a double murder. And it was precisely because of that that he became such a cause celeb, particularly in the black community. We'll get to more on that in just a second, but first.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Alrighty, coming up, we're going to go down memory road here a little bit on the OJ case, just to remind those who have forgotten or who weren't there. It's the Bench Bureau Show.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your internet at one time, and that requires a great internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
Experience luxurious bliss with Pinnacle Cultivators, Redding's premier licensed legacy cultivator, exclusively at the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake. Pinnacle's carefully crafted, expertly curated flower guarantees an exceptional experience with rare genetics and distinctive flavors, freshly packaged daily for a genuine farm-to-table experience. Visit 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-276-9771 for delivery and hours of operation. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragons.
Attention adventure seekers, save the date for the 30th annual Safari Club International Banquet hosted by the Redding Chapter of Safari Club International on April 27th at the Wind River Resort Center beginning at 5 p.m. Immerse yourself in the thrill of our auction featuring guns, hunting trips, equipment, and breathtaking artwork. Get ready for games and a drawing with fantastic prizes. For more details and tickets, visit sciredding.org. Join us for an unforgettable evening of camaraderie and conversation. See you there.
Now, this is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So O.J. Simpson died yesterday at 76, and we are reviewing the most important part of his life, which, of course, is the fact that he slaughtered two people. Flashback. A little bit of blast from the past here for those who remember. 1994, Nicole Brown Simpson's body being removed from the Brentwood estate where she had been murdered along with Ron Goldman. Ron Goldman, of course, had just been a person working at a local restaurant who kind of tangentially knew Nicole Brown Simpson and was bringing her glasses that she had forgotten at the restaurant. OJ came over to murder Nicole, and Ronald Goldman ended up being there. So here they were removing the body. Then, as you'll recall, OJ was going to be arrested, and he decided that he was going to try to get away from the police in what is the most famous boring car chase of all time, the White Bronco chase. I remember it was during the 1994 NBA Finals, and they put this on full screen in the NBA Finals in the corner of the film. I remember being pretty ticked because I used to watch the NBA Finals a lot more. And O.J. was going down the highway and supposedly threatening to kill himself in the back of the Ford Bronco as a bunch of people stood on overpasses in Los Angeles with giant signs reading Run, O.J., Run. So this was the beginning of celebrity, modern celebrity crime culture, and also the beginning of this kind of perverse movement where ideology trumped fact to the extent that you could actually go out on an overpass with a sign encouraging a double homicide perpetrator to run from the police. When they got to the trial, all this broke out into the open. So Johnny Cochran put on a show. The defense team, this is all highly publicized, obviously. The defense team was made up of the so-called dream team. They're like Robert Shapiro, Johnny Cochran, F. Lee Bailey, Alan Dershowitz. Now, all these people were incredibly well-credentialed. Cochran is the person who took the lead. The reason that Cochran really took the lead is because he was perfectly willing to play racial politics with this particular case. This was a pure case of jury nullification. It was a pure case in which the jury just said, we know he's guilty, we don't care, we're doing it anyway. And he made a bunch of spurious arguments that, of course, then entered the lexicon. So, O.J. was given the other glove to try on, the bloody gloves. You remember, as you mentioned in the evidence, there were two gloves. One was found at his Brentwood home. The other was in the courtroom. Now, something happens to leather when you make it wet. It shrinks, as everybody who has ever, for example, worn a golf glove in the rain knows. You put it in your bag, you take it out later, and it's all crinkled up. But that's what happens to leather. Also, OJ at this time is wearing a surgical glove, which has another layer beneath the glove. And here was OJ trying on the glove. And this was the main part of the argument, as we'll see in a moment. Here's OJ trying on the glove, which was stained, by the way, with his blood. Okay, first of all, that glove clearly fits. All he has to do is pull it a little bit. Yep. Right, now he's going to pretend that he can't get the glove on. Oh, it's so hard for him. It's so hard for him to get the glove on. I know that we were supposed to pretend in the moment that the glove did not fit. That was clearly the other glove, obviously. Oh my gosh, wow. And then the idea is it doesn't fit. The gloves don't fit. Yeah, this became the centerpiece of the Johnny Cochran argument. Here was Johnny Cochran doing some good old time lawyering here.
Let me show you something. This is a knit cap. I'm gonna put this knit cap on. You've been seeing me for a year. If I put this knit cap on, who am I? I'm still Johnny Cochran with a knit cap. And if you look at O.J. Simpson over there, and he has a rather large head, O.J. Simpson in a knit cap from two blocks away is still O.J. Simpson. It's no disguise. It's no disguise. It makes no sense. It doesn't fit. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
This was the argument, and it was a stupid argument at the time, but it was turned into a supposedly interesting argument, specifically because of all the racial connotations around the case. And those racial connotations came to a head over the testimony of Mark Furman. Mark Furman was an evidentiary expert for the LAPD. He had handled evidence. He was brought up to discuss the evidence, and he had denied in court racist remarks regarding O.J. Simpson. But it turns out there was tape of him saying racist things on the stand.
For the first time, excerpts from the Furman tapes you've never heard. Vulgar.
And Weinstein said, "Well, fight the Jew, call her the wandering Jew." The Plowboy said, "Big nose."
Sexist.
How do you arrest a violent suspect? I yell out, "Have a man do it."
Disturbing.
Okay, and then it turns out that on the stand, he was asked about whether he had ever used racist language. Here he was on the stand denying racist remarks with regard to OJ, particularly.
I want you to assume that perhaps at some time since 1985 or 6, you addressed a member of the African American race as a. Is it possible that you have forgotten that act on your part?
No, it's not possible.
Are you therefore saying that you have not used that word in the past 10 years, Detective Furman?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
And you say on your oath that you have not addressed any black person as a or spoken about black people as in the past 10 years, Detective Furman?
That's what I'm saying, sir.
So that anyone who comes to this court and quotes you as using that word in dealing with African Americans would be a liar, would they not, Detective Furman?
Yes, they would.
All of them. Correct.
All of them.
Okay, so there were some tapes of Furman and an aspiring screenwriter named Laura Hart McKinney covering 12 hours on tape over many years. And in those tapes, he had used some 41 racial epithets and made statements about police being above the law. And apparently, he used the N-word in those tapes two times. And that was then heard in the courtroom. And so the idea was if he's lying about using the N-word on the stand, then he must be lying about the evidence. An absurd contention. The reason that he was lying about using the N-word on the stand is because it was embarrassing. You can't lie about something like planting O.J.'s blood all over everything everywhere. And so in any case, the verdict gets read, and you can see the reactions as the O.J. Simpson verdict was read in court. Here is a flashback to the reactions as the O.J. verdict was read.
We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Ronald Lyle Goldman, a human being, as charged in count two of the information. We, the jury, in the above entitled action, further find the special circumstance that the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, has in this case been convicted of at least one crime of murder of the first degree and one or more crimes of murder of the first or second degree to be not true. Signed this second day of October 1995, juror 230. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, is this your verdict? So say you one, so say you all.
All right, counsel.
So again, those are the families that are weeping in the background. Alrighty, coming up, we're going to get into one of the great racial gaps in America, the views of O.J. Simpson. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Attention all gardening enthusiasts. It's time to celebrate 50 years of greenery and growth at Gold Leaf Nursery in Reading. That's right, folks. For almost a half a century, Gold Leaf Nursery has been your go-to destination for all things garden-related. And to mark this incredible milestone, they're throwing the biggest sale this year. The nursery is blooming with vibrant perennials and annuals, hardy shrubs, succulents, and majestic trees, vegetables, herbs, roses, ground coverings, along with 1 gallon or larger and all bag soil amendments. Their extensive selection ensures that there's something for every taste and style. And don't forget about their premium selection of statuaries, fountains, and bird baths to add that perfect finishing touch. At Gold Leaf Nursery, they're not just about selling plants. They're about cultivating joy, creating memories, and nurturing connections with nature. Come visit them today and let them help turn your outdoor space into a sanctuary you'll love coming home to. Thanks for voting Gold Leaf Nursery best in the North State. Come check them out on Churn Creek Road, 1/4 mile from Airport Road. Open Tuesday through Saturday.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day, I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best-tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hi, I'm Adam Ryan, presiding judge of the Shasta County Superior Court. The Superior Court is now accepting applications from those individuals that are interested in serving on the Shasta County Grand Jury. To apply or get more information, please visit our website at ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
The Grand Jury is one of the most important volunteer opportunities you can be part of. The deadline is April 12th. Get your application in today. To apply or get details, visit ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
Please apply now.
Hey, what's going on in Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
5.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So one of the most fascinating parts, of course, of the OJ trial was really not the trial itself as much as it was the reaction of the public to the trial. Same exact time period. Here's a report on the difference between how black Americans and white Americans responded to the very obviously wrong verdict of O.J. Simpson not guilty. Here's a poll. Okay, so these are the polling data. In 1994, when the murder first happened, 63% of white Americans thought that O.J. Simpson was guilty. 22% of black Americans thought that he was guilty. 22%. So 8 in 10 black Americans said he was not guilty, which is ridiculous. By any stretch of the imagination, it's ridiculous. By 1997, those numbers had changed just slightly. Now 82% of white Americans said O.J. Simpson was guilty. Only 31% of black Americans said O.J. Simpson was guilty. Even as of 2015, only 57% of black Americans said O.J. was guilty. Now, that is a big difference, obviously. As I said, as time went on, as this became not the center of racial focus in the United States, more black Americans were willing to admit that he was guilty, because the reality, of course, is that he was totally guilty. So by 2015, a majority of both whites and blacks said O.J. Simpson was guilty. But the point is, why should there be a racial differential when it comes to the guilt of a person who is very, very obviously guilty? And if you go back to the time again, you can see how black people and white people responded incredibly differently to the verdict acquitting a double murderer.
Oh, the jury's are coming out.
A long 10 minutes pass, and then... Here the crowd is mostly jubilant.
LAPD guilty!
We brought a TV to the Juice Club, where patrons began watching the verdict with a poker face, only to be shattered.
We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, not guilty of a crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Nicole Brown Simpson.
Granted, they were sequestered for a long time and they haven't been exposed to what we have, but God.
So that you can afford a high, big shot lawyer and have a lot of money for the case, you can get off with anything.
You know what? Johnny Cochran will be a rich guy. He will make a fortune. He will get lots of clients now. And I hope that he can sleep at night, because he got a double murderer off the case. He's going to go home and feel happy. And what about his kids? How can he even look at his kids?
Now, in subsequent years, it became even more obvious, of course, that O.J. was guilty. And O.J. would joke about the murders. In fact, there's tape of a person named Ruby Wax talking about being accosted by O.J. Simpson on April Fool's, where he shouted her, "I did it, April Fools." Just what a delightful human being O.J. must have been.
I did a piece to camera saying, "I've been fixed up and I don't know who my date is going to be." And we put him in the hallway, and then I opened the door and it would be him. But when he was out there, all the trays were out there, and he was looking for a knife to fool me when the door was open. But there was no knife, so he grabbed a banana. And then O.J. called me up on April Fool's Day in London and said, I killed her. And then went, April Fool's.
What a delightful person. In a 2006 Fox interview, O.J. went even further. He gave a hypothetical account of how he would have, in fact, killed his ex-wife as well as Ronald Goldman. Here is that 2006 Fox interview.
Here's how he describes the crucial moments of June 12, 1994, an account which he repeatedly insists is hypothetical.
As things got heated, I just remember Nicole fell and hurt herself. And this guy kind of got into a karate thing. And I said, "Well, you think you can kick my ass?" And I remember I grabbed a knife. I do remember that portion, taking a knife from Charlie. And to be honest, After that, I don't remember. Except I'm standing there. And
Simpson infers he blacked out and laughs bizarrely.
I hate to say this, but this is not even I'm sorry. I know we got to back up again.
Right. And he says he was standing in blood.
I don't think any two people could be murdered the way they were without everybody being covered in blood.
Okay, so he obviously did it, obviously. But even today, there are people who are trying to make excuses for why O.J. was acquitted. Because the real question isn't really why O.J. did what he did. The answer is that he was a sociopathic murderer. And he murdered two people in cold blood. The real question is why the legal system did what it did and why Americans reacted the way that they did. We'll get to more on this in just one second. First,
we are happy to announce a new product, Jeremy's Razors for Women. Ladies, get a great smooth shave and enjoy knowing that your hard-earned money is going to a company that celebrates and supports women being women. Get yours today at jeremysrazors.com.
Eugene Robinson has a piece in the Washington Post. Of course, Eugene Robinson is a black columnist for the Washington Post. And here's what he writes, quote, "As theater and as legal circus, Simpson's murder trial has never been surpassed or even equaled. Its characters were vivid to the point of being indelible. Eager to please Judge Lance Ito, dutiful but overmatched prosecutors Marsha Clark and Chris Darden, slick and razor-sharp defense lawyers Johnny Cochran and Effley Bailey, house guests Brian Cato Kalin, Simpson's friend and counselor Robert Kardashian, progenitor of all things Kardashian, racist detective Mark Furman, and a non-speaking role, the Bloody Glove. Faced with the prospect of spending the rest of his life in prison, O.J. embraced his blackness. His professed new racial consciousness allowed some black Americans to at least consider the possibility that he was yet another black man being brutalized by a racist justice system. After all, the trial was taking place just 3 years after the L.A. riots sparked when the police officers who savagely beat Rodney King were judged to have done nothing wrong. The evidence against Simpson was overwhelming, even though the murder weapon and knife was never found. The trial took 11 months. It took the jury less than 4 hours to reach its shocking verdict, not guilty." And then Eugene Robinson writes this, and it's fascinating. He says, "I have not a scintilla of doubt that he committed the murders. In 2007, Simpson even had the gall to write a book, If I Did It, which he said was a hypothetical narrative of how he would have committed the crime, wink, but of course he didn't. He often blathered on about how police should be out there looking for the real killer who is supposedly still out there somewhere. In 2008, Simpson was convicted in Las Vegas of armed robbery and other charges and given a harsh 33-year prison sentence. But he was released on parole in 2017, and he spent the rest of his healthy years playing golf. It was a diminished life, to be sure. He had just a fraction of his one-time wealth and status. His celebrity was of the most tarnished kind. His need for adulation would never again be requited. He was a pariah. But O.J. Simpson died a free man. He zigged and zagged all his life and never quite got caught." That's a rather ambivalent ending for a person who is a double murderer who got off. And the basic idea that there was some underlying question of justice with regard to O.J. Simpson that would have allowed for the moral imprimatur to be placed upon his acquittal is foolishness. And it's not just foolishness. It is morally unrighteous foolishness. O.J. Simpson was a double murderer. He should have gone to jail. And if you believe that questions of race should have taken precedence over questions of actual blood guilt, this makes you a bad person. That is not how justice works. When social justice, which is what we're talking about here, trumps individual justice, when the idea is that a true racial narrative about black victimhood in America is supposed to trump the fact that a black man killed two white people, you have lost the thread of decency and morality. Justice cannot work under these circumstances. It is a perfect encapsulation, the O.J. Simpson case, of why social justice is a lie and individual justice is true, and why it was so wildly unjust for O.J. Simpson to be let off the hook for the murder. It's, again, incredible that this was controversial at the time. It's even more incredible that it remains even remotely controversial or sort of wistfully controversial today. In fact, here was one of the jurors in the O.J. Simpson case explaining exactly why O.J. Simpson was let off.
"Do you think that there are members of the jury that voted to acquit O.J. because of Rodney King?"
"Yes."
"You do?"
"Yes."
"How many of you think felt that way?"
"Oh, probably 90% of them."
90%?
"Did you feel that way?"
"Yes."
"That was payback."
"Uh-huh."
"You think that's right?"
Okay, if your answer to is it right to acquit a double murderer because a few years earlier there was a controversial case in which white police officers beat a black man and then ended up being acquitted of particular charges, if your answer to is that morally right is that makes you the villain in this story. If you were the juror who let off O.J. Simpson, you're the villain in this story. The proper answer comes courtesy of all people from Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith had this exactly right. Yesterday, He was covering the O.J. Simpson death, and here's what he had to say.
But in the end, speaking directly about O.J. Simpson, again, this is what it comes down to. Most people believe that he committed those murders. I know that if I was on the jury, he would have been under the damn jail. I know that much. I believe he was guilty, but I don't know. I'm talking about based on the evidence that was placed before us during the trial overseen by Judge Lance Ito. This is what we saw on national television, and by most accounts, you found yourself believing he was guilty as hell. And in the end, that's what this comes down to.
That's what it should come down to. Unfortunately, that is not what it came down to. The question is, if you're going to have a good and righteous America, questions of individual justice must take precedence over foolish narratives about the evils of one group or the evils of another group. If anything else is the prevailing moral standard, society will break apart. That's what the O.J. Simpson trial should have taught us, and we should have remembered it. We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, spring is here. That means spring cleaning, warmer weather, and flowers and leaves starting to bloom. With all the changes happening outside right now, there's no better time than now to start shopping for life insurance with Policy Genius as part of your financial planning for the year. Getting life insurance today means you'll have peace of mind, so if something were to happen to you, your family can cover expenses while you get back on your feet. Luckily, Policy Genius helps you compare your options from top companies. Their team of licensed experts is on hand to help talk you through it. Policy Genius has licensed award-winning agents and technology that make it easy to compare life insurance quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. Even if you already have a life insurance policy through work, it might not offer enough protection for your family's needs. It might not follow you if you leave your job. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million in coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies, which means they don't have an incentive to recommend an insurer over another insurer. Save time and money. Provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com. Get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could save. PolicyGenius.com. All right, coming up, Joe Biden continues to lag in the polls. There are some interesting reasons why. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The official meeting of the business-to-business meeting is called to order. Business-to-business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But the keeper online.
Not. No. Business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win.
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Fire and Destruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hi, I'm Adam Ryan, presiding judge of the Shasta County Superior Court. The Superior Court is now accepting applications from those individuals that are interested in serving on the Shasta County Grand Jury. To apply or get more information, please visit our website at ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
The Grand Jury is one of the most important volunteer opportunities you can be part of. The deadline is April 12th. Get your application in today. To apply or get details, visit ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
Please apply now.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, has teamed up with the Flag Center and are giving you a chance to win an American flag. And there are two ways to qualify to win a beautiful, high-quality American flag by Annan. We will be giving them away every Friday morning at 8:15. Now, the first way to qualify is listen weekdays between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott during Free Fire Radio. And they're going to let you know when to call in to qualify at 530-605-4255. 4566. And the second way to qualify, check out our Facebook page. Look for the American flag and type your name in the comments. Then, every Friday morning at 8:15, we will draw a winner of a beautiful American flag from the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive and your friends here at KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Sent today.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joe Biden continues to lag in the polls. He has had a little bit of a momentum builder with regard to the national polling data. In fact, 5 out of the last 8 polls have Joe Biden either tied or ahead in the polling data. Reuters Ipsos now has him up 41-37 over Donald Trump. INI and TIPP has Biden up 43-40 over Trump. Morning Consult has Trump up 1, 44-43. So whatever you say, this is a very, very close election by every shape or measure. That in and of itself is a referendum on how bad a president Joe Biden is. And the economy now seems to be going the wrong way on him again because inflation is, in fact, an embedded fact of life under Joe Biden. Mortgage rates, according to the Wall Street Journal, again rose to nearly 7%, which is incredibly high. For most of my lifetime, mortgage rates you could get at like 3-4%. Now you're talking about mortgage rates at 7%, which is a giant chunk of your money over a long period of time. According to the Wall Street Journal, the average rate on the standard 30-year fixed mortgage rose to 6.88%, according to a survey of lenders released on Thursday by Freddie Mac. That's up from 6.82% a week earlier. So once again, those rates are really, really high. It makes it very difficult not only for somebody to get a new loan, but also makes it very difficult for somebody to sell their current house and get a loan to buy another house, which means that the stock of housing on the market is peculiarly sticky. There's not enough housing on the market because I'm not going to sell my house to get a new one when my 30-year fixed rate is at 3.5%. And in order for me to sell and get a new house, I'm going to have to jump to a 7% rate. Now, Fed rate cuts are being called into question. So all this year, we've been told by the Biden administration and by the press that the rate cuts are coming because inflation will be tamed. And then finally, the money will flow freely, loosely, easily again. IPOs will start to be successful again. New investments will be made possible and all the rest. That doesn't look like that's going to happen anytime in the very near future. According to the Wall Street Journal, another firmer than anticipated inflation report delivered a meaningful setback Wednesday to the Federal Reserve's hope that it could buoy prospects of a so-called soft landing by dialing back on some of the past year's interest rate increases. Solid hiring and the prospect that inflation might settle out closer to 3% than 2% could call into question whether the central bank will be able to cut rates until much later in the year without evidence of a sharper slowdown in the economy. This is the third straight month in which prices were hotter than expected, and it sends officials back to an uneasy holding pattern, where they wait several more months for either better inflation data or the type of evident economic weakness that they were hoping to avoid. So Joe Biden's economy continues to superheat. That is because, again, he tossed too much money into an already overheated economy that was already plagued by supply chain problems. Too much money following too few goods equals inflation. And this is having significant dire ramification for his polling. So Roy Teixeira, who is the most prescient commentator on the left when it comes to elections, Roy Teixeira is most famous for his theory back in 2004 that Democrats would be able to build a majority-minority coalition and then lead that coalition to victory. And then it turns out he had to dissociate himself from his own theory because it turns out it wasn't true in 2016 or even in 2020. He doesn't think it'll be true in 2024 either. So now he is saying to Democrats, you guys are way too far out on the left on pretty much every issue. He says, if you want to win, you have to do 3 things. 1, you have to move to the center on culture issues. 2, you have to promote what he calls an abundance agenda. And 3, you have to embrace patriotism and liberal nationalism. But the second one is the one that really Joe Biden was supposed to be able to do well with, and he's just not. Right? Everybody knows he's too radical for the American public on social issues, like way too radical, and particularly for minorities who are not actually socially radical on a lot of these issues. But the bigger problem for Joe Biden is that a stagnating economy is going to sink him. A really burning, great economy under Joe Biden, where people felt great about the economy, might make up for his cultural shortcomings. But if the economy is stagnating and he is way out of touch with the American public, particularly minorities, Hispanic, black minorities, with regard to social issues, he's got a real problem on his hands. As Roy Teixeira points out, the left has been talking about the economy as though the American people are just nuts, that they made some sort of huge mistake, the American people. But the reality is that there is something else going on here. Roy Teixeira says, in Democratic circles, there are two main responses to the bleak record on the abundance front. The first is what I call the deluded, ungrateful wretches theory. The idea here is that the economy's recent record has been stellar. Low unemployment, strong job creation, smartly rising wages, and inflation that has declined sharply from recent highs. Given all this, why do voters still believe the economy is so bad? They're deluded. But, he says, there's quite a strong case that in terms of the lived experience of voters, particularly working class voters, things have not in fact been great. The primary suspect, of course, is inflation, which is still relatively high, and in June of 2022 reached 9%, the highest inflation rate the country had experienced since 1981. People absolutely hate inflation, since it directly undercuts living standards, and they're reminded of this fact every time they go to the grocery store. Heather Long of the Washington Post recently collected data on changes in inflation, hourly earnings, and household purchases since Joe Biden took office. What she found is that cumulative inflation has outpaced average hourly earning growth, and the rise in many consumer prices has been even larger than overall inflation. Rent and meat are up 20%. Restaurants and groceries are up 21%. Electricity is up 28%. Gas, 35%. Eggs, 37%. Meanwhile, average hourly wages are up only 15%. So if inflation outpaces all of those things, then you feel like the economy is getting worse for you. Roger Lowenstein, an economics commentator, points out that the median household income went up 10.5% under Donald Trump before the pandemic. However, under Biden, inflation has snatched away the gains from even a very strong labor market. Over his first 2 years, as price hikes outran wages, real median household income actually fell 2.7%. The census hasn't reported median income for 2023, but given that real wages were up about 1% through November, the cumulative change in household median income adjusted for inflation over Biden's first 3 years is likely to be in the range of mildly negative to very mildly positive. In other words, the country did not make progress in improving living standards under Joe Biden. And that's what's happening here. Even CNN is pointing this out. Here is CNN explaining that Americans are not buying what Joe Biden is trying to sell here.
Now, out on the road, President Biden has tried to point to some of those positive indicators over the past few months. The fact that unemployment is down, the fact that wages are rising, and that the overall inflation trend is also lowering. But even as he's trying to highlight those positive aspects of the economy, what Americans are feeling is completely different. If you take a look at one of the most recent national polls from Marquette, it found that the majority of voters believed that the economy is either not so good or poor. And then when you stack up President Biden against former President Donald Trump, more believe that Trump is better on economic issues than President Biden.
Okay, that is right, because Donald Trump was better on economic issues than Joe Biden. So Democrats, faced with the prospect of having to, you know, admit that their programs are a failure, when they spend too much money, that a huge percentage of the job creation right now is in government sector jobs, instead, they're going to go with the first theory that Teixeira mentioned, the ungrateful wretches theory. Here's Whoopi Goldberg doing that routine saying, guys, inflation is not Joe Biden's fault. You guys just don't understand economics like Whoopi Goldberg does.
What I hear when I talk to undecideds is the grocery bills are...
Yes, but, who, but like, new, if my people knew civics, they would know that there, that's not...
Are absolutely things that Biden can do to address it, and grocery prices have jumped 25% over 4 years.
What can
this
you
is,
do?
This, hang what on one, real quick. This is the reality. It's the most immediate and repetitive thing. You have to buy groceries every week.
We so get that. Get all of that. But the question is, what do you want him to do? What can he do?
He can challenge the major grocery chains if he wants to.
Here's the thing. You know, people are if he does stuff, they if he doesn't do stuff. Listen, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. But I'm off.
Americans are spending 11% of their income on food.
I'm an American. I'm a little off about having overpriced stuff, but I tell you what I'm really off about. I'm really off that people seem to think that the American citizen is a wallet where you can just get your hand in it.
Wait, hold up. So you're pissed off that your taxes are too high? Because you should vote for Trump then, Whoopi. And yes, the president has something to do with this. The president is the one who is generating massive outsized spending along with his Senate majority. Corinne Jean-Pierre, for her part, she's out there trying to attribute inflation to Russia still. Again, this is not going to work for them.
When the president took office, and you know this, there was a pandemic. It was closing down businesses, closing down schools. And so it was drastically disrupting the supply chain. Let's not forget about that. And so that's what was going on. and that caused inflation around the world to increase. We know that. And then further increasing inflation was the Russia's war in Ukraine. And in fact, many other countries are even worse off because of what we've seen with Russia's war.
Okay, that is not because of Russia's war, and everybody knows that. But again, this is Joe Biden's presidency, and Joe Biden's presidency is a failure on pretty much all fronts. It's bad domestically. It is far worse on the foreign front. All right, folks, we've reached the end of today's show. We'll be back here with much more on Monday. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. With a slim one-vote Republican majority and sniping from different party factions, U.S. House Speaker Mike Johnson says his challenge is to make Congress productive anyway. On the new weekly news program, This Week on the Hill, Johnson feels pressures from social media don't make lawmakers' jobs any easier.
The job that we have right now in the midst of this modern Congress is to govern anyway. We've got to show the American people that we can keep the train on the tracks. If we do that, we're going to have a very strong November. But if all this grinds to a halt and people stop getting government services, they're going to be very angry very quickly, and that is not going to inure to our benefit.
Speaker Johnson adds that in his view, the stakes could not be higher in this year's elections. This Week on the Hill debuts this weekend on many of these same stations. President Biden said he expects Iran will strike Israel soon. He says if that happens, the U.S. would remain committed to protecting Israel.
We are devoted to the defense of Israel. We will support Israel. We will help defend Israel, and Iran will not succeed.
Biden said that while he didn't want to discuss secure information, his expectation was sooner than later. A federal judge is rejecting Hunter Biden's efforts to get his gun possession charges dismissed. The president's son was indicted in September for possessing a gun while using narcotics. Friday, the judge ruled the case will not be dismissed. The trial is scheduled to begin June 3rd in Delaware. Authorities say a Texas semi driver rammed a stolen 18-wheeler through the front of a public safety building where his renewal for a commercial driver's license had been rejected. One person was killed. 13 people inside were hurt. Officials have identified the driver as 42-year-old Clenard Parker. His license renewal was rejected by the Texas Department of Public Safety. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free quick quote. Call 800-355-4107 now. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Call us for your free quick quote today. 800-355-4107. That's 800-355-4107. What do you have to lose? Call 800-355-4107. Again, 800-355-4107.
A Kansas City Chiefs player involved in a crash while speeding in a rented Lamborghini in downtown Dallas surrenders to police.
Rashee Rice, a wide receiver with the Kansas City Chiefs, has been released on bond after surrendering himself at the Glen Heights Police Department in Texas. He and Theodore Knox were involved in a multi-vehicle crash last month while racing sports cars on a Dallas highway. Four people had minor injuries. Rice and Knox faced charges including aggravated assault and seven counts of collision involving injury. Video captured the crash and the men walking away from the scene, according to police. They allegedly left following the crash without determining whether anyone needed medical attention or providing their information. I'm Jennifer King.
They were also seen getting things out of the vehicles. The House approves a bill to reauthorize a key federal surveillance program. Critics say it allows for warrantless spying on Americans. FISA warrants were used by Democrats and government agencies to spy on then-candidate President Trump. News and analysis at townhall.com. Shop for a home now or hold out for possibly lower mortgage rates. Correspondent Jeremy House has more on the story.
It's a question confronting many home shoppers this spring home buying season amid widespread expectations that mortgage rates could come down once the Federal Reserve begins lowering its own short-term rate. Economists generally anticipate the average rate on a 30-year mortgage could start declining later this year after surging to a 23-year high of nearly 8% in late October. Holding out for more attractive rates could give home buyers some financial breathing room, but there's a potential downside to waiting. Lower rates can bring out more buyers, driving up prices. Jeremy House reporting.
Gas prices keep rising. AAA says the average price for regular gas has gone up about 20 cents a gallon over the past month. The national average now sits at 3.63. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, friends. Tobacco and Brew here with a new cigar of the humidor. La Aroma de Cuba Pasión. Straight from the estate of Don Pepin Garcia comes this excellently crafted cigar. Profound notes of nougat, leather, molasses, and cedar please the palate throughout. La Aroma de Cuba Pasión. Be sure to get yours today. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We've been told by pretty much every major media outlet that we are now in a soft landing. This means that inflation has started to decline, the economy continues to sail along, yet strangely, nobody is feeling like that. And this has been the big perplexing question for Democrats. Why is it that the economy is so amazing, but nobody actually feels like the economy is so amazing? Well, one reason is that, contrary to popular opinion, we have not yet defeated inflation. And the latest news on that front came in yesterday. According to the Wall Street Journal, stubborn inflation pressures persisted in March, derailing the case for the Federal Reserve to begin reducing interest rates in June and raising questions over whether it can deliver cuts this year without signs of an economic slowdown. The Consumer Price Index, a measure of goods and service prices across the economy, rose 3.5% in March from 1 year earlier, according to the Labor Department. That was a touch higher than economists had forecast and a pickup from February's 3.2%. So-called core prices also rose more than expected on a monthly and annual basis. This, of course, drove the stock market down some 500 points. It also meant that bond yields started to go up. The bottom line here is that inflation continues to run almost twice what it is supposed to be running. Remember that year over year, the inflation rate is supposed to be about 2%. It is currently running at 3.5%. And when you add that on to the giant inflationary bubble that we had in 2021 and 2022, you're talking about prices that are up like 20% for most Americans. Joe Biden's economy has not made up those wage losses. Politico is sounding the alarm. According to them, President Joe Biden has been presiding over a good news economy for the past year with strong growth, low unemployment, and falling inflation. But that good news is reaching its limits. The cost of living rose faster than expected in March. That likely means Biden will have to live with high interest rates well into an election year, with investor hopes fading fast for a Federal Reserve rate cut in June. Now remember, the Federal Reserve has kept those interest rates pretty high by at least the last 10 years of standards. And what that means is that money is less easy. That means that IPOs aren't as easy. It means that finding money to actually fund your startup isn't that easy. Loans are not as easy to come by. Typically, that presages some sort of economic slowdown. When you raise the interest rates, typically that is supposed to bring inflation down, but it's also supposed to have an impact on markets. It is supposed to drive down prices and all that. That's literally the purpose of the interest rate increases, to drive down prices. And that usually comes along with an economic cooling if the economy is superheated. That's not happening because we've dumped so much money into the economy in 2020 and 2021 and 2022 and yes, in 2023 that economy doesn't seem like it's going to slow down anytime soon. You can make the case that it used to be supply chain problems that had driven the prices to exorbitant highs. But the supply chain problems, even though they're still there in places like the Red Sea, they're not nearly what they were during the pandemic. and yet we're still getting these inflation rates clocking in far too high. Even CNN was admitting that inflation is moving in the wrong direction. Here they were yesterday.
This just in, inflation is headed in the wrong direction right now. The latest consumer price report just out shows prices up 3.5%, this over same time last year. CNN's Rahel Solomon, just looking through it all, just running into the studio to help us out. What are you seeing in this?
Hey, Kate. So, yeah, you put it pretty well there that this is moving in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. So 3.5% on an annual basis. To put that in context, that is hotter than what we were expecting and certainly hotter than we saw the month prior. If you look at a CPI on a monthly basis, sort of a similar trend there, right? So coming in at 0.4% on a monthly basis, that is also hotter than we were expecting. Okay.
According to Seema Shah, chief global strategist at Principal Asset Management, quote, this marks the third consecutive strong reading and means that the stalled disinflationary narrative can no longer be called a blip. In fact, even if inflation were to cool next month to a more comfortable reading, there's likely sufficient caution within the Fed now to mean a July cut may also be a stretch. If Joe Biden is not able to get any sort of cut to the Fed rate coming up to the election, he's got a problem on his hands because it means that economy is going to start to tighten up just before the election. Larry Summers, who is the former Treasury Secretary under Bill Clinton, former president of Harvard University, before he was ousted for political incorrectness, he had previously predicted that there would be a massive inflationary cycle after 2020, 2020. People laughed at him because we hadn't had a massive inflationary cycle in the United States for 40 years. He was right. Here he was yesterday explaining that a rate cut in June would be a really dangerous move at this point.
You have to take seriously the possibility that the next rate move will be upwards rather than downwards, and anything could happen. Markets could crash, the indicators could turn down, but on current facts, a rate cut in June, it seems to me, would be a dangerous and egregious error comparable to the errors the Fed was making in the summer of 2021, when it just didn't get the thread on inflation.
Okay, well, that is becoming conventional wisdom, what Larry Summers is saying right there. According to CNN, Fed Governor Michelle Bowman said last week she's even willing to consider raising rates should progress on inflation stall or even reverse. For now, she doesn't think there's a high likelihood that hikes will be merited. With that said, the possibility of a soft landing seems to be disappearing. According to CNN, although the economy is booming by many measures, including last month's blowout jobs report, small business owners aren't feeling gung-ho about it. By the way, there's a reason for that. The blowout jobs report was heavily reliant on two sectors, the healthcare sector and, wait for it, government jobs. An index produced by the National Federation of Independent Business gauging how small business owners expect to fare in the future dropped to its lowest level since 2012 last month. Everybody is feeling it. And consumers are not confident in their ability to make on-time debt payments. Because, again, the interest rates are so high that if you are getting behind on your bills, it is very difficult to repay all of that. All of this is very bad for Joe Biden. When you connect a staggering economy with a completely atrocious foreign policy and a president who is no longer with us, that is a bad indicator for a reelect effort. So Joe Biden had a particularly bad day yesterday. I don't know whether they didn't get him to bed the previous night. I don't know whether he stayed up too late watching Matlock. Whatever it was, Joe Biden was really not with us yesterday. He required note cards for pretty much everything. On his note cards, apparently it said, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out, because he needs to be told to do literally everything. We saw this actually in his Univision interview last week when he required note cards to be interviewed. Typically, if you're interviewing someone, you might have note cards. If you're being interviewed, you typically aren't carrying around note cards. Here he was doing like a meet and greet with the Japanese prime minister, and that dude needs his note cards.
Well, Fumio, welcome back to the White House. Welcome back to the Oval Office. It's good to have you here. Good to see you again.
Yeah, there he goes.
When we were here last year, we said the role being played by the United States and Japan is becoming even greater.
Good.
And I couldn't agree more with your assertion back then. And what we see in our joint support for Ukraine in the face of Russia's vicious assault is just outrageous.
It's like watching him read a foreign language, but it's English from a note card. I would suggest that perhaps the Japanese prime minister speaks better English than Joe Biden at this point. Meanwhile, Joe Biden finished up this presser, and he just kind of randomly was smiling at the walls while the press were ushered out so they wouldn't ask him any questions. There he is, smiling at the wall again. What was that? It was like a weird face, like a weird Joker face, and then you get the weird smirk. It's Joaquin Phoenix in the new preview for Joker 2 happening there with the President of the United States. Again, yesterday was a bad day for him. He also suggested in a speech that he needed to be reelected because he was in the 20th century. That one I can believe. Here we go.
Elect me. I'm in the 20th century, 21st century.
I mean, to be fair, he was born in the 16th century, apparently. So exciting stuff there from the President of the United States. Hey, so Democrats are left with the narrative. They don't have a great economy, as we'll talk about in a little bit. They got a real immigration problem on their hands. So they have to say, basically, the Republicans, as always, are the fonthead of all evil. They're the root of all sin. And so Joe Biden on the campaign trail yesterday, he suggested that Republicans want to kill millions of people by repealing Obamacare. This stuff has been tiresome since Democrats were running ads about Paul Ryan pushing little old ladies off cliffs in wheelchairs. But they're still playing this hit. Again, this is just going to be a play the hits campaign. It's the rockin' oldies with Joe Biden over here.
My predecessor and his MAGA friends wanted, I love the phrase, the language he used, they want to terminate the Affordable Care Act. Terminate. Well, guess what? Killing millions of Americans, take them off of health care insurance, is stripping others of services like home care. Folks, by the way, you know how many times they've tried to take out Obamacare and Affordable Health Care Act? 49 times.
That's a very long word, what he's saying, right?
They can keep trying, but they're not going to get it done.
So the longest word in the English language is pneumo ultra microscopic silico volcano coniosis, and or whatever he just said just now, which was all one long mashed potato word, Joe Biden. But he did suggest, of course, that Republicans are killing people en masse. I do love that he's very upset by the language of terminating Obamacare. What exactly would he say about abortion? Terminating a, like, what does he think that is? In any case, he's doing a wonderful job, and his backup is doing a similarly wonderful job. If you are on a word diet, let me recommend some word salad from Kamala Harris. She really breaks out the Caesar dressing for this one.
It's important to see that, you know, the nature of democracy, there's a duality to it, has two sides to it. On the one hand, there's incredible strength, right, that when a democracy is intact, what it does for its people in terms of the strength it gives its people and protects in terms of individual freedoms and rights, right, and liberties. There's an incredible strength in that, what it does for its people when it is so intact. On the other hand, democracy... extraordinarily fragile.
Yeah.
So it's fragile. Only as strong as our willingness to fight.
So fragile.
That's by nature what a democracy is. It is about the people.
Oh, that's what a democracy is. It's like a woman, strong but fragile, delicate but wonderful.
Oh! Everyone is going to vote for Joe Biden. You understand, he's probably going to die in office, right? Y'all get this, right? That dude on his last legs. I'm sorry to break it to you. I don't mean to shatter your bubble about Joe Biden's longevity. That dude is not looking great. And his backup is this. We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, spring is here. That means spring cleaning, warmer weather, and flowers and leaves starting to bloom. With all the changes happening outside right now, there's no better time than now to start shopping for life insurance with Policy Genius as part of your financial planning for the year. Getting life insurance today means you'll have peace of mind, so if something were to happen to you, your family can cover expenses while you get back on your feet. Luckily, Policy Genius helps you compare your options from top companies. Their team of licensed experts is on hand to help talk you through it. Policy Genius has licensed, award-winning agents and technology that make it easy to compare life insurance quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. Even if you already have a life insurance policy through work, it might not offer enough protection for your family's needs. It might not follow you if you leave your job. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million in coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies, which means they don't have an incentive to recommend an insurer over another insurer. Save time and money. Provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com and get your free life insurance quotes to see how much you could save. PolicyGenius.com. Already coming up, Kamala Harris says this might be our last election ever. That's not true. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Red Bluff Roundup is on. April 19th, 20th, and 21st. Get your tickets now. Over $350,000 is up for grabs for 700 competitors. It's the biggest three-day rodeo in the country. Tickets are on sale now, so grab the good seats while you can. It's consistent action with bucking horses, bulls, barrel racing, roping, wild pony riding, and more. Friday is Patriot Day, brought to you by Food Max and Outback Contractors. Gates open at 5, rodeo at 7. And an after party with live music. Saturday, brought to you by Sierra Pacific Windows, Sierra Pacific Industries, and Red Bluff Dodge. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 2:30. And an evening concert by country music star Chase Matthews. And Sunday is Haleakala and Dignity Health St. Elizabeth Hospital, tough enough to wear pink day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 1:30. Get your tickets now at the Roundup office or online at redbluffroundup.com.
Hello, this is Roland from the Flag Center. Are you thinking about a new flagpole for Memorial Day or 4th of July? Well, now is a good time. Currently, our high-quality Titan telescoping poles are on sale at prices too low to advertise. These beautiful silver or dark bronze poles are backed by a lifetime warranty and wind rated at 95 miles per hour. The Flag Center, 2124 Hilltop Drive, since 1982.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Attention adventure seekers, save the date for the 30th annual Safari Club International Banquet hosted by the Reading Chapter of Safari Club International on April 27th at the Wind River Resort Center beginning at 5 p.m. Immerse yourself in the thrill of our auction featuring guns, hunting trips, equipment, and breathtaking artwork. Get ready for games and a drawing with fantastic prizes. For more details and tickets, visit sciredding.org. Join us for an unforgettable evening of camaraderie and conversation. See you there. This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
Today.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So Democrats are going back to the old playbook, pulling out all the old tricks. The latest is this is going to be the last election ever unless you vote for Joe Biden. Kamala Harris also, again, they're going to go to crisis mode. Crisis mode dictates that Democrats have to really up the game. They keep saying stuff like this could be our last election ever. Now, let me be clear on this. I hate when both parties say this stuff. It's crap. Okay, when people say this may be the last, we may never have another election. You don't believe that. If you actually believe that, then you go shoot somebody, probably. The idea that this is the last election ever, that Donald Trump is so scary that he's just like Hitler. Okay, well, then I don't believe you think that. If you did think that, you probably would have focused more effort on taking him down during the Republican primaries, actually, as opposed to in the general election where you think that he's beatable. Whenever Republicans say it's going to be the last election ever, I notice that you're not preparing to sell your house. And Democrats, you too. This kind of constant ramping up to the possibility of civil war is really silly. And it's really bad when it comes from your top level politicians. When she talks about democracy being strong but fragile, and then she immediately suggests in the next breath that this may be our last election, you understand that you are now presenting an actual threat to democracy that requires revolutionary action. Anyway, here's Kamala Harris saying this stuff. Treating serious language as though it's a throwaway line is really a problem in American politics, and Kamala does it as much as anybody.
I don't think it's hyperbolic to say this genuinely could be the last democratic election we ever have.
You're right.
Listen to what he says. He's telling
you. No, you're not.
Dictators aren't a dictator for one day.
No.
And then it's let the people decide.
No, and I'm going to tell you, as vice president, I've now met with over 150 world leaders.
Yeah. Presidents, prime ministers, chancellors, and kings. And in the last three international trips I've taken, which are, you know, going back to the end of last year through this year, world leaders have come up to me expressing their real concern.
Their real concern that there won't be another election in the United States? Sure. All right, this may be the last election. I love the co-host there who is asking Kamala Harris about that, where she says, this might be the last election. Donald Trump has said, on the one hand, he'll be a dictator for only one day. And then he has said, let the people decide. I noticed neither of those statements is actually a threat to the upcoming election or the one after. I noticed that. Usually when you say, let the people decide, that means not the end of elections. Just the thing I noticed. So, Democrats are going to their backup plan. If Donald Trump isn't a threat to democracy, then Donald Trump is a threat to you personally. Again, they're going to drag up. It's play the hits. It's play the hits time, 2024 for Democrats. They're getting in early, which means they're a little bit scared. Whoopi Goldberg was playing the old hits. One of those big old Democratic hits. We already seen one, which is Republicans going to kill you with their health care plans. Now, here we have Whoopi Goldberg basically paraphrasing Joe Biden about Mitt Romney back in 2012. They're going to put you all back in chains. Here's Whoopi Goldberg saying that Donald Trump wants to enslave black people or something.
Take a look at the things that they're rolling back. Mm. Remember I said ages ago, you know, they, in their minds, they want to bring slavery back. They're okay with it because, you see, things change. You know, one of the good things about the Supreme Court is you can fight to make sure you make stuff better. You don't generally fight to make stuff worse. Or to roll back. And to me, if you're okay rolling that back, when things were not even a state, when we had no say, so how's that going to roll? How's that going to roll? What's the next thing? Because, you know, on this... with all of this comes birth control.
Right.
With all of this comes everything that you need as a woman to have had put in place to make sure that we were doing better than we were before.
Yes, Republicans all want to bring slavery back. That's where they are going. And they're going to bring slavery back via restrictions on your ability to kill a baby. That's really where they're going here. And so the Democrats are going to try to make the entire 2024 election about abortion. They did this in 2012 also. You remember that planted question from George Stephanopoulos to Mitt Romney in 2012. If you have a memory bank that goes this far back, in 2012, Mitt Romney was the Republican candidate for president, believe it or not, you know, for those who are kind of short-memoried here. And when he was candidate for president, George Stephanopoulos, a Democrat who was the news anchor at one of the debates, proceeded to ask Mitt Romney about bans on contraception. And then this became a meme, the war on women. Okay, they're bringing back all the hits. The war on women is what they're bringing back. So what are they using as the leverage point for the war on women? They're talking about this Arizona ruling that pushes abortion law back to the 1864 protection of all life standard. As I've said before, on a practical level, Arizona has a Democratic governor. Arizona has extremely evenly split houses. They have a one-vote majority for the Republicans in the House and a one-vote majority for the Republicans in the Senate. It's not going to be too hard to peel off a couple of Republicans to vote with Democrats and go to a 15-week standard on abortion by repealing the 1864 law, for example. But Democrats are trying to use this as case in point of how Republicans want to roll back time to 1864. So you're seeing all over the media today lithographs and etchings from 1864 because that's when this law is from. Okay, well, would it be any different if the law is from, like, 1960? I don't really think so. I mean, the law is what the law is. And again, practically speaking, very good shot that they change the law in Arizona, but not before they suggest that Donald Trump wants to ban abortion federally. Now, again, these issues are not related. A federal abortion ban has actual legal issues that obtain to it, including the problems of federalism and Supreme Court precedent. But Democrats are trying to do the war on women routine with Trump. The big problem they have here is that unlike Mitt Romney, who is actually significantly more pro-life than Donald Trump, Donald Trump is not all that pro-life on the federal level. Yes, he appointed judges who overruled Roe versus Wade, but he didn't overrule Roe versus Wade on a personal level. Yes, Donald Trump was in favor of the overruling of Roe versus Wade, but that doesn't mean that he wanted to replace that with a giant federal abortion ban. In fact, yesterday, Donald Trump suggested precisely the opposite. So here was Donald Trump yesterday talking about the Arizona pro-life law that went into place.
Did Arizona go too far? Yeah, they did, and that would be straight down, and you know.
know, it's all about states' rights, how do we straighten that? And I'm sure that the governor and everybody else are going to bring it back into reason, and that will be taken care of, I think, very quickly.
Okay, so he actually said that he thinks the law, quote, goes too far, and he said, I think it'll be straightened out. And as you know, it's all about states' rights, and it'll be straightened out. I'm sure the governor and everybody else have got to bring it back into reason, and that it will be taken care of, I think. Okay, so in other words, Donald Trump is taking the most moderate position that it is possible to take on abortion, which is no federal legislation, leave it to the states. That is a more moderate position than pro-lifers want, including me. I prefer that he's had a 15-week abortion ban like Mike Pence did. But Democrats have to whip this into a frenzy in order to try and defeat Trump, because Joe Biden is a bad candidate. Already coming up, Democrats trying to make abortion the top issue in 2024. Again, this is the Ben Shapiro Show.
So you know what that means. Hot cars! And cool April nights is back, April 19th to the 28th. It's going to be bigger than ever. So mark your calendar for 10 days of classic car fun. This year has more show and shine, a drive-in movie, cornhole tournament with $1,000 in prizes. Don't forget to dust off your lawn chairs for the big cruise on Friday, April 26th. End the week by coming to the biggest show and shine of them all at the Civic Auditorium on Saturday, April 27th. There will be 2,000 classic cars on display, tons of great food, a variety of vendors, and lots of chances to win prizes at our annual Poker Walk or Raffle City. Get your tickets today at any of the 8 local Napa Auto Parts stores to avoid the line. Cool April Nights returns April 19th to the 28th, so mark your calendars. For a full schedule of events, go to CoolAprilNights.com. That's CoolAprilNights.com. The Shasta College summer term will start June 10th, and priority registration has started. Contact a counselor and check out all the cool classes being offered this summer. Get a jump start on a degree or certificate, or get transfer ready by taking one of the many classes held this summer at Shasta College. Go to www.shastacollege.edu/admissions to get started.
Life is always easier when we make good decisions. Taking care of your vehicle with regular maintenance is a smart decision that will save you money. Going to Premier Oil Change for regular maintenance is another great decision and an easy way to maintain your new car warranty. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Come experience fast drive-through service with no appointment required. Premier changes your fluids while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point service. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. And in Anderson, across from Roundtable, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Experience luxurious bliss with Pinnacle Cultivators, Redding's premier licensed legacy cultivator exclusively at the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake. Pinnacle's carefully crafted, expertly curated flower guarantees an exceptional experience with rare genetics and distinctive flavors, freshly packaged daily for a genuine farm-to-table experience. Visit 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-276-9771 for delivery and hours of operation. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragon.
Hi, I'm Adam Ryan, presiding judge of the Shasta County Superior Court. The Superior Court is now accepting applications from those individuals that are interested in serving on the Shasta County Grand Jury. To apply or get more information, please visit our website at ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
The grand jury is one of the most important volunteer opportunities you can be part of. The deadline is April 12th. Get your application in today. To apply or get details, visit ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
Please apply now.
Hey, what's going on in Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Redding has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So once again, Democrats are trying to make abortion the top issue in 2024. So you have Mika Brzezinski saying, do we need to hit rock bottom? We're going to get the faux panic from Mika Brzezinski, who's deeply worried about abortion law or something.
They wanted to have a conversation and a debate and a impetus for voters to go to the polls centered around abortion. I think obviously they would rather have the right to an abortion than have to debate it on the merits. But from a political standpoint, Willie, this is a monumental development.
Well, I mean, to your point, Sam, just to crystallize, I know that you believe women should have a right to access to abortion health care. And on a policy level, this is horrendous. This is absolutely horrendous what's happening.
Wow, subjective.
The question is, do we need to hit rock bottom to realize what's happening here? That's going to be the question in this 2024 election.
Wow, rock bottom would be all the babies get to live. I can't imagine what rock bottom looks like to Democrats if rock bottom is where the babies get to live. Katie Hobbs, the governor of Arizona, she is eager to suggest that the Arizona abortion ban will motivate voters to come out to the polls in favor of Democrats. Here is the wet dish rag, who is the actual governor of Arizona, because she beat Carrie Lake.
And I am confident that when given the opportunity, they will vote to protect abortion access.
Do you think that will get on the ballot for this election?
They are well on their way there. They have surpassed the number of signatures needed, and they still have months to continue collecting. And this is a common sense measure that is supported by the vast majority of Arizonans in terms of protecting access. And, you know, certainly it's going to motivate voters in November.
Okay, but here's the thing. If you cure it now in Arizona the way that Katie Hobbs wants to, it won't be an issue in November. So what are they going to do? Hold it up until November? Here's the reality. Democrats have a problem because Donald Trump actually put them in a bind on abortion. They wanted to use a club to hit him with abortion, and he is actually mirroring many of their positions on abortion. He doesn't want a federal mandate to allow abortion across the land, but he also is not in favor of a federal ban on abortion across the land. So this leaves Democrats in a bit of a bind. So what do? They send out their media members to lie and pretend that Donald Trump is trying to have it both ways, which is not true. Here is Maggie Haberman of the New York Times trying to push this untrue line.
Trump said, and we at the Times broke this, that Trump was saying to people when the likely Dobbs decision was impending that this was going to be bad for Republicans. He has recognized that the politics of this are bad for Republicans. He has also then gone out and said that he proudly helped overturn Roe v. Wade. And so it's a little hard to have it both ways, but he is trying to have it all ways, and he often does. He tries to leave all options open and avoid being pinned down. This is on a significant issue that a lot of women are very, very animated by, and looking as if you are trying to avoid saying anything, I don't think is going to be a sustainable position for him.
This is so confusing to me. It is not, in fact, a confusing position to say that you are in favor of the overturning of Roe versus Wade, and now it gets kicked back to the states. That is literally the Federalist position. That is, by the way, the actual position of the Supreme Court of the United States. Democrats are trying to, they're trying desperately to force Trump into a strong pro-life position so they can run against it, and he's not giving them the bait. And that's a problem for them, politically speaking. Meanwhile, Joe Biden has a problem of his own. When it comes to illegal immigration, Joe Biden, of course, has done an absolutely awful job. According to the Herald Review, U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers in the Tucson sector are seizing enough fentanyl and methamphetamine alone to kill billions of people. Similar to agents in other sectors finding drugs hidden in novel ways, recent seizures are of drugs hidden in microwaves, children's bouncy houses, and under watermelons. The Tucson sector, which covers most of the state of Arizona from the Yuma County line east to New Mexico, spans 262 miles of the international border. Nogales CBP agents seized more than 38,500 pounds of drugs in fiscal 2021. Drug seizures went down in fiscal 2022 and 2023 to 26,000 and 25,000 pounds, respectively, but seizures of cocaine and fentanyl have increased over the same time period. Not all drugs, of course, are equally deadly. In fiscal 2023, Tucson sector agents seized a record at 12,700 pounds of fentanyl. So far in fiscal 2024, through March 5th alone, they've already seized more than 4,700 pounds of fentanyl. That amount is combined enough to kill more than 3.9 billion people, because it doesn't take a lot of fentanyl to kill somebody. A fentanyl poisoning or overdose can be extraordinarily small amounts. We've covered this in the first couple of episodes of our series, Divided States of Biden. You should go check that out over at Daily Wire Plus if you want like the complete background on the border crisis plus the fentanyl crisis. Episode one is the border crisis. We actually went down to the Arizona border where they are smuggling the fentanyl over. Episode two is about the impact of the fentanyl crisis in the United States. Ahead of Easter weekend, more than 1.1 million fentanyl pills were seized at the Nogales point of entry. And its director, Michael Humphreys, said that on March 26th, Nogales POE agents found and seized roughly 166,000 fentanyl pills hidden inside a microwave. On March 28th, they found and seized more than 661,000 fentanyl pills and 3.9 pounds of meth hidden inside a deflated children's bouncy house. So things are going really well at America's southern border, naturally. And the impacts are being felt all over the United States. Yesterday, the New York Police Department Commissioner, Edward Caban, called migrants ghost criminals. He said that we have illegal immigrants who are running around in our cities with no actual documentation. We have no idea who they are or exactly what to do about it.
When there was that high-profile crime in Times Square when the officer was beat by the migrants, you called them ghost criminals. What did you mean by that?
Right now, most of them had no IDs. There's no way we could tell where they live, where they come from. They're pretty much ghost criminals.
I got to think that makes your job tougher, to try to combat crime, and you're trying to look for people you don't even know what their names are.
Yeah, absolutely it does.
Of course, that's true. In fact, Joe Biden's border crisis and fentanyl crisis are so bad that even Democrats in contested states are running against Joe Biden. John Tester is the senator from Montana. Montana is a blood red state. He is deeply concerned that he is going to lose his election. So he is now running an ad directly against Joe Biden as a Democrat.
When Montanans see a problem, we get to work. John Tester worked with Republicans fighting to shut down the border, target fentanyl traffickers, and add hundreds of new Border Patrol agents. And he fought to stop President Biden from letting migrants stay in America instead of remain in Mexico. John Tester knows defending Montana starts with securing the border.
I'm John Tester, and I approve this message to do whatever it takes to keep Montana safe.
Okay, so he's running as a blue dog Democrat against Joe Biden. That shows the size and scope of the problem. In fact, John Tester sees the problem so clearly that he is now flipping on the possibility of impeaching Alejandro Mayorkas, the Secretary of Homeland Security. According to Politico today, Senate Republicans are trying to orchestrate the impeachment trial of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas to exact maximum political pain on their top Democratic targets in November, especially Tester and Sherrod Brown in Ohio. Democrats are signaling they will quickly shut down the Mayorkas trial once they receive impeachment articles from the House. But Tester is now in a problem, because if he shuts down the impeachment of Mayorkas while claiming he's trying to shut down the border, the Republican he's running against is going to win. According to Politico, this puts Tester and Brown in an unenviable bind. Some of their purple state colleagues will also feel the heat. The upper chamber's campaign map this year already favors Republicans tremendously. The GOP wants to exploit Democrats' vulnerabilities on the topic as migration surges to take back the chamber. Democrats are hoping to quickly move past the trial, remind voters their GOP colleagues tanked a border deal earlier this year. That ain't going to work. Senate Minority Whip Thune of South Dakota, he said not dealing with it in some way runs the risk of putting a lot of the incumbent Democrats, and for that matter, candidates in other races around the country, in a really difficult position. I wouldn't want to be them defending that vote. So there's a reason, again, that John Tester is abandoning Joe Biden over this issue. And no matter how many times Democrats scream that the impeachment is political, it ain't going to work, because everybody can see the border crisis. In fact, even Joe Biden can see the border crisis, which is why, once again, he's flirting with the idea of the executive action he should have taken all along. Or More appropriately, the executive action he should have left in place, because it was Donald Trump who already had in place a Remain in Mexico policy and differential interpretation of asylum law. Here is Joe Biden saying, hey, maybe I'll shut down the border.
Well, it suggested that we're examining whether or not I have that power. I would have that power under the legislation when the border has over 500,000 people, 5,000 people a day trying to cross the border because you can't manage it, slow it up. There's no guarantee that I have that power all by myself without legislation. And some are suggesting I should just go ahead and try it. And if I get shut down by the court, I get shut down by the court. But we're trying to work through that right now.
Yeah, this is the first time that Joe Biden's ever said he gives a crap what a court says. He once suggested he did not have the unilateral ability to cram down a vax mandate on 80 million Americans. Then he tried it. Then the Supreme Court told him he literally could not unilaterally relieve student loan debt. And then he tried to do it anyway. So is the real holdup here his deep and abiding respect for the Supreme Court of the United States, or is it that his left-wing base will be very angry at him if he tries to shut down immigration at America's southern border? Again, just another major issue created by a terrible president. More on this in just a second. Last year, Preborn's network of clinics saved over 58,000 unborn babies. Thank you to everyone who donated and helped make this possible. It's truly beautiful to hear the story of a life that was saved. Jabra is a young lady who found herself in an unplanned pregnancy and was strongly influenced to end her pregnancy at an abortion clinic. Even as they administered the abortion pill, she felt cold and anxious. She fled home and started searching for how to reverse the curse, which led her to a Preborn network clinic. The nurse immediately administered progesterone and calmed her greatest fear. The baby was saved. When a mom sees her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, it's a divine connection that could double a baby's chance at life. Each of these babies are truly miraculous. Every day, Preborn celebrates 200 miracles. By donating just $28, we can make the difference between the life and death of a child. So let's join together and help moms choose life. Just dial #250, say keyword baby. That's #250baby, or go to preborn.com/Ben. That's preborn.com/Ben. Go check them out right now, preborn.com/Ben. You're doing something amazing every time you help out Preborn, because again, when moms see their babies on ultrasound, it makes them want to save their babies. Go to preborn.com/Ben to help out. All right, coming up, updates from the Middle East, where, once again, Joe Biden has set everything on fire. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Redding with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hi friends, Tobacco and Brew here with a new cigar of the humidor, La Aroma de Cuba Pasión. Straight from the estate of Don Pepin Garcia comes this excellently crafted cigar. Profound notes of nougat, leather, molasses, and cedar please the palate throughout. La Aroma de Cuba Pasión. Be sure to get yours today. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Uh,
This is Carl Bott.
And Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So everything is on fire over in the Middle East. Things are going great. Tony Blinken continues to try to cater to the pro-Hamas voters in Jabhat. It's just not going to stop. It's not going to stop. He put out a statement yesterday on Eid al-Fitr, which is the end of Ramadan, saying, quote, "As we near the end of the holy month of Ramadan, I wish Muslim communities everywhere Eid Mubarak and join in hopes for a safer and more peaceful world. As families and communities come together, we know they do so at a time when many Muslim communities worldwide are suffering. Our thoughts turn to the plight of Palestinians in Gaza and West Bank, civilians in Syria, women suffering under the Taliban in Afghanistan, Uyghurs in the People's Republic of China, Rohingya in Burma and Bangladesh, and far too many others." So he is lumping in, just to be clear, Israel with the Taliban or the Chinese Communist Party. That is ridiculous. West Bank Palestinians, by the way, are not governed directly by Israel. They're governed by the Palestinian Authority. So again, this is just another way of attempting to pay off the radicals in the Democratic Party base. Meanwhile, Israeli airstrikes killed three adult sons of the head of Hamas's political leadership on Wednesday. That's Ismail Haniyeh, who's been enjoying his five-star accommodations in Qatar this entire time, while people have been bombed because his terrorists are hiding beneath them over in Gaza. All three were apparently terrorists, according to Israel. Hamas said seven people died in the strike. Haniyeh's answer to this was, quote, "I thank God for this honor that he bestowed upon us with the martyrdom of my three sons and some grandchildren." These are people who clearly value life. These are people who, Ismail Haniyeh clearly is just a normal thinking person who wants peace. Because that's how you would respond if your kids and grandkids were hit in a drone strike because they were terrorists and or associating with terrorists. You would immediately respond by thanking God for the honor bestowed upon you with the martyrdom of your sons. That's what you would do, would you not? Oh, you wouldn't? Because you're not a terrorist? And they don't think like you? Yeah, that's what I thought. But we have to pretend that there is moral relativism all across the spectrum. And Hamas, they're just a rational, reasonable group. Why can't some sort of deal be cut? Now, Hamas, for its part, is not compromising in any way, because after all, why would they? Joe Biden has basically given them the keys to the car. According to the Times of Israel, amid intensive U.S. efforts to achieve a deal for the release of Israeli hostages held by Hamas in Gaza since October 7th, both Israeli and Palestinian officials tempered optimism on Monday around progress in Cairo talks. By the way, there is no optimism. The United States keeps saying optimism so Joe Biden can cater to his base. But Hamas is not caving, and Israel cannot cave because they would be leaving an actual militarily operational terrorist group in charge of Gaza were they to pull out right now. They would lose the war, in other words, at the Biden administration's behest, if they were to do what Joe Biden wanted. So it's the United States doing happy talk. It's Joe Biden and his secretary say, oh, we're so close, we're so close. Meanwhile, Hamas is like, we will make no concessions. And Israel's like, well, we can't let you survive. You murdered 1,200 of our citizens and turned the entirety of the Gaza Strip into a giant terror tunnel. In separate interviews, several Hamas officials offered varying comments regarding the state of the talks, ranging from rejection of the latest U.S.-drafted Israeli-backed terms to assertions that the terrorist group was still studying the proposal. Apparently, the deal under discussion would provide for the release of some 40 Israeli captives in return for a temporary truce and the release of hundreds of Palestinian security prisoners, including some convicted of deadly murder. By the way, it is now unclear whether Hamas even holds 40 hostages. How many of the American hostages they're holding are dead? We have no idea. Hamas refuses to say. So clearly, the Biden administration needs to put the pressure on Israel. Clearly, Israel is the problem here, as always. Meanwhile, the right is tearing itself apart, as per our usual arrangement, because anything you can do, I can do dumber. So Marjorie Taylor Greene is currently leading an insurrection against Mike Johnson, the current Speaker of the House. She doesn't have a lot of fellow travelers in this thing. She is now threatening that if Mike Johnson passes a Ukraine aid bill with Democratic votes, then she will push forward her motion to vacate, presumably garner a little bit more steam. Here she was yesterday.
There's been a lot of talk about Ukraine aid in regards to the motion to vacate, but FISA is obviously also a big battle up here. Mm-hmm. Just how he handles and follows through with the FISA debate, will that influence your thought process on motion to vacate?
How he handles the FISA process and how he handles funding Ukraine is going to tell our entire conference how to handle the motion to vacate.
Okay, so she's saying that she's the one in control of the vote. Meanwhile, Speaker Johnson, he says these sorts of threats create a continuous situation of chaos, which obviously is true. No governing majority can govern if at any moment a fringe character can simply pull the trigger on a motion to vacate. That's not how this is supposed to work. It was never supposed to work this way. It is unprecedented that it's working this way. And reality, it ain't working at all.
And I don't think that would be helpful to us from a political standpoint for the Republican Party to continue to govern, to maintain, keep, and then grow our majority in November. I thought that would have been a great hindrance to it. And so that wouldn't be helpful, and nor does the motion to vacate help us in that regard either. It would be chaos in the House. So Marjorie and I are going to visit later today and look forward to the conversation. And I'm not going to discuss it anymore. I'm not going to discuss it with you all. I'll discuss it with her.
Okay, well, here is what Speaker Johnson should do, as I've been saying. He should nuke this nonsense. This nonsense needs to stop. It is stupid. It is preventing the business of the House. And if he is ousted, there's nobody else ready to take the place. Marjorie Taylor Greene knows this. She was asked about it. And she was like, nope, ain't got another name. So we'll go through another 10 weeks of no speaker. And then eventually, a few purple state Republicans will chip in and make Hakeem Jeffries speaker, thanks to Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz and their deep and abiding desire to be on camera as much as humanly possible. Pushing that forward yesterday was the congressional wing in the House that tried to kill FISA Section 702. So FISA Section 702 is a section that lets the government monitor communications of foreigners overseas. That information is then stored on a database, as the Wall Street Journal reports. It can be searched by U.S. intelligence officials for names or keywords, which is quite useful because if Osama bin Laden is planning an attack, you want to be able to, for example, search all of these records by name or keyword. The problem is U.S. persons contacted from abroad can sometimes be caught in the data. And the FBI has misused this on occasion. The Reforming Intelligence and Securing America Act, championed by Intelligence Chairman Mike Turner, imposes new guardrails as well as criminal penalties for abuse. It also preserves the ability to surveil and act with dispatch without introducing onerous bureaucratic barriers. So basically, this debate is whether you can get a FISA warrant or if you need to get a FISA warrant every time you access any request that might catch up an American, or whether you need different procedures. The bill would require FBI personnel to get a prior approval from a supervisor or staff attorney before running U.S. person queries. It would prevent political appointees from approving FBI database queries, and it would require audits of U.S. person queries to be run within 180 days after the query was initiated. So this comes down to, do you have to apply for a FISA warrant beforehand? If by the way, it'll be six and one half dozen of another, because here's what's going to happen. If it ends up being that you have to get a FISA warrant before you actually go forward with a search like this, they'll just keep handing it out like they have been in the past, which is to say, like candy. You'll go for a FISA warrant because you want to make a search. The FISA courts will be getting 50 of these requests today, and they'll just greenlight all of them, which is historically what they've done. House judiciary leaders don't think this is enough. Chairman Jim Jordan and ranking Democrat Jerry Nadler will offer an amendment to require a warrant for every search of the 702 database that includes U.S. persons. I understand both sides of the debate, for sure. The question is, as Mike Johnson says, you're arguing over this stuff in the House. Wait until they pass a clean bill in the Senate, and they don't include any guidelines on how these searches are to be done. There's a whole other House of Congress, in other words. Johnson plowed ahead, according to Politico, with efforts to bring the bill to the floor despite growing angst in his right flank and former President Trump sounding off and urging Republicans to kill the larger surveillance law. Congress now has no clear path to extending a program that administrations of both parties have touted as vital to national security before its April 19th expiration. It existed during the Trump administration as well. It was not vital for Trump to kill it. It was vital for intelligence services to be able to search queries about Osama bin Laden and his friends. House conservatives are warning they not only take issue with the policy behind the wiretapping proposal, but the path Johnson took to get there. Scott Perry of Pennsylvania, one of the 19 Republicans who blocked the bill, said, quote, "That's been a very convoluted process. It has been decidedly manipulated right now to make sure certain amendments can't be heard. And he characterized Washington as disappointment theater." Well, you know what's really theatrical? This idea that the House controls every aspect of all legislation as though the Senate does not exist. That's what's irritating. It's also why Johnson needs to reverse the process in how he's approaching this. Because here's the math. Every time Johnson brings a bill to the floor, Marjorie Taylor Greene or Matt Gaetz or whoever decides to get their name in the headlines today is going to put a motion to vacate on the floor. Then they will wait for somebody to sound off, President Trump to sound off on something he doesn't know much about, like a FISA surveillance warrant issue. And then if he sounds off, there will be 25 Republicans who will now side against the bill. And then if Johnson goes ahead with it anyway, then they will threaten to vacate his speakership. That is not a particularly great way for running the Congress, which is why Johnson needs to seize back the power that a speaker traditionally had. The speaker traditionally had the power, as I mentioned before, on the Hastert rule, to move forward with a majority of the Republican caucus. Remember, there may be 20 Republicans sounding off against the bill and 200 in favor of it. But the 20 keep outweighing the 200, specifically because of the stupidity of the procedures that have currently been put in place. Johnson needs to nuke this system and nuke it right now. Alrighty, folks, we've reached the end of today's show. We'll be back here tomorrow with much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. A deadly crash in Texas.
Police say the 18-wheeler was stolen and was driven through the front of the Texas Department of Public Safety office that issues driver's licenses in Brenham, Texas. The driver has been identified as Clenard Parker.
Parker did come to the DPS Brenham office yesterday at approximately 3 or 4 p.m., where he was denied his commercial driver license.
Sergeant Justin Ruiz says Parker is in custody. Brenham Mayor Atwood Conjura says the driver wanted to crash into the building again, but was detained.
Our fire chief mentioned that if he had veered a little bit to the left the second time, there would have been a collapse of that building, which would have resulted in a lot more injuries and possible death.
I'm Ed Donahue.
The DNC helped pay Biden's legal fees.
Democratic donors covered more than $1 million in legal fees racked up by attorneys representing Joe Biden during the special counsel's probe into his handling of classified documents. The payments were disclosed in regular campaign finance reports to the Federal Election Commission. News of the payments comes after the Biden campaign has repeatedly criticized Donald Trump over the extensive use of donor funds to cover his legal bills stemming from four criminal indictments. Greg Clugston, Washington.
A Dallas doctor is found guilty.
The Dallas anesthesiologist was convicted for injecting a nerve-blocking agent and other drugs into bags of intravenous fluid, which led to the death of a coworker and caused cardiac emergencies for several patients. The 60-year-old man faces up to 190 years in prison. After evidence presented at trial showed numerous patients at Surgicare North Dallas suffered cardiac emergencies during routine medical procedures performed by various doctors between May and August of 2022. Rhonda Rockstra reporting.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Pain relief, thank you. Pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Progressive asks, what do a late-night pizza craving?
Pizza place.
Can I get one large pepperoni pizza?
A newly licensed teen delivery driver. A guaranteed delivery time or its free offer. And your front fence have in common?
Uh-oh.
It's my fence!
They can turn your stomach upside down in under 30 minutes.
I'm still getting a tip, right?
Bundle your home and auto with Progressive for great savings and round-the-clock protection.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
Los Angeles County's troubled juvenile detention facilities on the verge of shutting down can remain open.
The Board of State and Community Corrections voted to lift its unsuitable designation for Barry J. Nidorf Juvenile Hall in Sylmar and Central Juvenile Hall in Boyle Heights. Both facilities could have been forced to shut down April 16th because of failed inspections. The State Board found last year the county was having trouble correcting problems, including inadequate safety checks, low staffing, use of force, and a lack of
Roku has another security breach. The company announced on Friday that around 576,000 accounts were compromised. It was apparently discovered while Roku was notifying customers of a previous breach, which affected around 15,000 accounts earlier in the year. News and analysis at townhall.com. Been the worst week on Wall Street since October.
On Wall Street Friday after an uneven start to earnings reporting season. The S&P 500 sank 1.5%, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 1.2%, and the NASDAQ Composite slumped 1.6%. Worries about tensions in the Middle East rattled financial markets. Treasury yields fell as investors looked for safer places for their money. J.P. Morgan Chase was among the stock market's heaviest weights after giving a forecast for a key source of income that was below analysts' estimates. The pressure is always on companies to produce fatter profits, but it's
more on these stories at townhall.com.
It's April, so you know what that means. Hot cars! And cool April 9th is back, April 19th to the 28th. It's going to be bigger than ever. So mark your calendar for 10 days of classic car fun. This year has more show and shines, a drive-in movie, cornhole tournament with $1,000 in prizes. Don't forget to dust off your lawn chairs for the big cruise on Friday, April 26th. End the week by coming to the biggest show and shine of them all at the Civic Auditorium on Saturday, April 27th. There will be 2,000 classic cars on display, tons of great food, a variety of vendors, and lots of chances to win prizes at our annual Poker Walk or Raffle City. Get your tickets today at any of the 8 local Napa Auto Parts stores to avoid the line. Cool April Nights returns April 19th to the 28th, so mark your calendars. For a full schedule of events, go to CoolAprilNights.com. That's CoolAprilNights.com.
Today, the Matt Walsh Show. With the death of O.J. Simpson yesterday, leftists in the media are finally coming out and saying out loud what we've always known, which is that O.J. was a hero to them because he killed white people. Also, Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib is, for some reason, unable to condemn those in her district who chanted death to America. Academics have come up with a new gender-neutral term for Hispanics after Latinx proved to be a flop. And I have exclusive footage from a Department of Interior event where a poem called I Am Diversity was performed. It's as bad as it sounds. All of that and more today on the Matt Walsh Show. Back in 1995, there were two very different versions of the O.J. Simpson trial playing out. And for most of the country, the trial was a spectacle. A lot of crazy stuff happened, so much that most people don't remember all of it. Now, overnight, for example, the National Enquirer tabloid morphed into a crack legal publication that broke several exclusive stories about the proceedings. They had 20 reporters working on the case, coming up with transcripts and scoops that everybody else missed. And, of course, Norm MacDonald famously had so many jokes about the case that he was fired from SNL because of it. In a decade since, there hasn't been any trial remotely like the O.J. trial. It was entertainment. Now, at the same time, in black areas of Los Angeles and in major cities all over the country, the O.J. Simpson trial wasn't just a spectacle. It was also about revenge for the Rodney King acquittals and police corruption more generally. And that's been discussed quite a bit over the last 30 years. Many people have pointed that out. What's gotten less attention is that with the O.J. trial, for the first time, it became widely acceptable to think about the deaths of white people as necessary collateral damage to exact political revenge. Now, there was no social media at the time, of course, and cable news was pretty sanitized, at least by today's standards. So nobody with a major television platform came right out and said this directly. But they didn't need to. It was obvious, especially if you looked at how little concern there was among OJ supporters for Nicole Brown and Rod Goldman and their families. Nicole Brown, as you might remember, was repeatedly beaten by OJ before she divorced him, and then he hunted her down and nearly cut her head off. Everyone knew this. Everyone knew that it happened. Everyone knew he did it. But not everybody cared. It was apparent from the reactions when OJ was acquitted, there was euphoria among some people, and it broke down along racial lines. Watch.
Superior Court of California, County of Los Angeles. In the matter of the people of the state of California versus Orenthal James Simpson, case number BA097211. We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant Orenthal James Simpson not guilty of case number BA097211. We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant Orenthal James Simpson not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Nicole Brown Simpson, a human being, as charged in count one of the information. Superior Court of the State of California, County of Los Angeles, in the matter of the people of the State of California versus Orenthal James Simpson.
So it's pretty disturbing footage, especially since at the time it didn't cause, you know, a whole lot of outrage. And thousands of people all over the country, most of them black, celebrated the acquittal of someone who obviously just murdered two people. At the time, serious people understood that this was jury nullification, but nobody really explored the implications. I mean, what does a country look like over the long term when murdering white people is seen as acceptable? What happens when the media and major political figures endorse this barbarism? Not a lot of people seem to care, even after a juror from the OJ trial came right out and admitted many years after the fact that 90% of the jurors knew that OJ was guilty, but the jurors acquitted him anyway because they were driven by a desire for quote-unquote payback. Watch.
Do you think that they're members of the jury that voted to acquit OJ because of Rodney King?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
How many of you think felt that way?
Oh, probably 90% of us.
90%? Did you feel that way?
Yes.
That was payback.
Uh-huh.
You think that's right?
Well, she can't say it's right, but it's what happened. It's what they did. And she knows it's wrong to let a killer go free, but, you know, that's what she did. That's what they did. That's what the jury did. And this has all been known for a while now. But what's less widely known is that the Los Angeles DA at the time, a Democrat named Gil Garcetti, engineered this acquittal. An attorney named Dylan Esper has cataloged all the ways that Garcetti rigged the trial in favor of OJ. The big one is that he didn't try the case in Brentwood, which is in West Los Angeles. That would have been the logical place to hold the trial because Simpson had lived in Brentwood for two decades. But Brentwood is almost exclusively white, and Garcetti recognized that for OJ to have the best chance of acquittal, given the racial politics of the case, he needed to pick a new venue, so he chose downtown Los Angeles, where he was able to secure an overwhelmingly black jury with just a couple of white people on it. And Garcetti made several other decisions to swing the case for OJ. For example, he declined to pursue the death penalty after publicly meeting with Johnny Cochran, who was just about to join OJ's defense team. That was a significant decision because a death penalty jury has to answer yes to the question of whether they'd be okay with sentencing somebody to death. And that weeds out a lot of the left-wing jurors immediately, so Garcetti chose not to do that. And additionally, Garcetti chose to present the prosecution's entire case during pretrial hearings, giving the defense a chance to scope out all the witnesses well in advance of the trial. And as Esper points out, this ultimately worked to the defense's advantage in a pretty major way. OJ's lawyers picked up on one inconsistency in the pretrial testimony relating to the amount of blood collected by police investigators, and they made that a major part of their defense, which they were prepared for because it was all presented to them. Now, these were not errors or sloppy work by the prosecutors. These were intentional efforts by Garcetti to avoid convicting OJ Simpson, which would have ended his political career. Pretty much every black voter in Los Angeles would have voted to remove Garcetti if OJ had been found guilty. Indeed, even after OJ Simpson was found not guilty, Garcetti refused to prosecute him for perjury in the civil trial, even though it was clear that OJ Simpson lied several times But that's how committed Garcetti was to keeping O.J. Simpson out of jail. Again, anybody paying attention during this whole saga understood all of this. This is not, none of these are new revelations. It's not new information. What is new is that now that O.J. Simpson is dead, he died yesterday of cancer, as you've probably heard, mainstream news outlets are now coming right out and admitting all of this, really for the first time. They're acknowledging that O.J. Simpson was guilty, but that he simply couldn't be convicted because of race politics. So here, for example, is a CNN journalist explaining on camera yesterday that in 1995, a lot of black people loved to see a black man get away with murdering two white people. Now, she catches herself midway through, but it's very clear what she was saying. Watch.
It's also just worth noting how much was impacted by this trial, Jake. So many things happened. We saw policing changing here in the city. And it's also worth noting, because of that unrest, that racial unrest in the 90s, that is why so many people who may not have been invested in O.J. Simpson were just happy to see that someone who was rich and famous and black could get away with what other people did in the system as well, too.
You know, we'd have a much better understanding of today's race politics and how to put an end to it if we could have admitted this back in 1995. A lot of people wanted to see a black man get away with murder. It's not that they thought he was innocent, it's that they knew he was guilty and they wanted him to get away with it. The two white people are collateral damage, basically. A professor named Mark Lamont Hill, who maybe you've heard of, spelled this out very clearly yesterday. He wrote this, quote, O.J. Simpson was an abusive liar who abandoned his community long before he killed two people in cold blood. His acquittal for murder was the correct and necessary result of a racist criminal legal system. But he's still a monster, not a martyr. Now, in other words, you can kill white people without penalty, as long as the criminal legal system is racist, and people like Mark Lamont Hill believe it's irreparably racist forever, then it's fine to basically decapitate white people in their own homes. That's what he's saying. Like, the fact that he's acknowledging that O.J. Simpson was a murdering monster, that doesn't make his position more reasonable. It makes it worse, because he's acknowledging that and still saying that it was good that he was let off the hook. This is according to someone who collects a paycheck paid by the government of New York to teach the next generation of Americans, by the way. Yesterday, Hill elaborated on his reasoning, essentially saying that O.J. had every right to kill his victims because a police officer involved in the case used a racial slur at some point in the past. Watch.
I don't share a belief in his innocence. There's a difference between being factually innocent and being legally not guilty. O.J. Simpson was legally not guilty. O.J. Simpson should not have been found guilty. You know why? Because there was a police officer, a racist police officer. It's really that simple. A racist police officer.
Now, you'll notice that there's no regard whatsoever in Mark Lamont Hill's mind for the two victims. Their families aren't entitled to justice, all because a detective on their murder case used a racial slur. So if you use the N-word, then any white person who's tangentially related to you deserves to die. That's basically what he's saying. And a lot of people thought this way in 1995, but, you know, they didn't say it in public for the most part, and that is what is changing now. Now, the reason several mainstream outlets spent yesterday eulogizing O.J. Simpson as some kind of victim is that they approve of what he did. And there's no other way to spin it. The New York Times, for example, wrote that, quote, a jury in the murder trial cleared Mr. Simpson, but the case ruined his world. Now, they quickly edited that out of the piece, you know, when people pointed out that he stabbed two people to death and therefore ruined their worlds, too. And actually, he ruined his own world by committing the stabbing. First part, NPR wrote the following headline on something called Threads, quote, breaking news, the football great Orenthal James Simpson, known as O.J., has died. The football great, you know, as everybody knows him, of course. The Associated Press, meanwhile, tweeted, legendary athlete, actor, and millionaire, O.J. Simpson's murder trial lost him the American dream. Again, it's the trial that lost him the American dream, not the fact that he, you know, actually went out and killed two people. And those were all real headlines. And everyone knows exactly what's going on here. The only way to get glowing headlines like this from the corporate media is if you kill people they don't like. It's the same reason the Washington Post described that ISIS leader as an austere religious scholar. O.J. Simpson killed members of a disfavored demographic, so they're mourning him as a victim, not the people he killed. And this kind of attitude was on display everywhere yesterday. There was no focus on the victims whatsoever. CBS News interviewed one of O.J.'s lawyers from the 1995 trial named Carl Douglas. And in the interview, he comes out and declares what he saw as a main benefit of the trial. Again, It had nothing to do with the with justice or finding the truth or the real killers or anything. Instead, it was about showing to the world that black lawyers can get their defendants off too. Watch.
What truths were revealed through the course of this trial that are still being struggled with today?
Your listeners don't understand that era of our country. That was before the internet. Emails were not as widely used as today. That's before Twitter, Facebook, or X, Instagram. So everyone was transfixed on this case and on this trial that was being led by an African-American attorney. What that case did for the image of black lawyers everywhere was significant. And whatever you think of this verdict, for black Americans, it was not speaking about O.J. Simpson per se. He didn't speak to the black community in the ways that other black icons did. But for the system, for black lawyers to be successful, for people to believe that at least once in our history, the system acknowledged the excellence of black lawyering, that was a watershed event for all of the country to observe. And I'm proud to have been a part of that nine-member team.
So he says, quote, whatever you think of this verdict for black Americans, it was not speaking about O.J. Simpson per se. Well, that about sums it up, straight from one of O.J.'s lawyers. The O.J. trial was not about O.J. Simpson. The trial was arguably the beginning, or at least a landmark moment on the way towards our current era of racial insanity. The race hustlers of the time rallied around O.J. not because they thought he was innocent, but because they saw him as an agent of revenge. And Democrat Party elites in Los Angeles, like Gil Garcetti, did everything they could to ensure O.J.'s acquittal so that he could serve that function. But nobody yesterday was more explicit about this than CNN contributor Ashley Allison, who's a former senior advisor in the Obama White House. Listen to what she chose to say out loud on national television yesterday.
But it was so racially charged because of what had happened just before with Rodney King, but also just how black Americans feel about policing. It's not like O.J. Simpson was the leader of the civil rights movement of his era. You
right.
know, he wasn't a social justice leader, but he represented something for the black community in that moment, in that trial, particularly because there were two white people who had been killed. And the history around how black people have been persecuted during slavery, there was just so many layers. And I guess I would just close with this, is that there was racial tension then, there is racial tension now. It might not be the backdrop of the Trump campaign, but until this country is ready to actually have an honest conversation about the racial dynamics from our origin story till today, we will always have moments like O.J. Simpson that manifest, and our country will always be divided if we don't actually deal with the issue of race.
He represented something for black Americans because it was two white people who had been killed. That's what black Americans connected with, according to this woman. They felt affinity with O.J. because he brutally slaughtered white people. I mean, talk about saying the quiet part out loud, although, as we've seen, it's hardly the quiet part anymore. You know, I know the whole imagine if the races were reversed thing gets old after a while, but this really is no different from a white cable news contributor going on cable news and saying that Dylann Roof, that white people connect with Dylann Roof because it's black people who'd been killed. Now, of course, well, I guess I should amend that because I could totally see a CNN contributor saying that as a way of condemning all white people. But imagine a white cable news contributor saying that in a positive way. They mean it in a good way, lionizing Dylann Roof because he killed black people. But you can't imagine that. It would just never, ever happen. And probably if someone did say that on cable news, not only, of course, they'd be fired immediately. Their life would be over. They'd probably be arrested. They'd probably find a way to arrest you for that. But this mentality that we just saw there has metastasized over time, helped along by Barack Obama leading to the rise of BLM and culminating in Floyd and the 2020 riots and then the post-Floyd era of DEI. And now 30 years later, so-called race relations have deteriorated to the point that the race hustlers finally feel comfortable coming out and telling us what their motives were all along. So yes, O.J. Simpson is dead, but the legacy of that trial, particularly the racial violence and distrust that it normalized, is still, unfortunately, very much alive. We'll be back with the Matt Walsh Show in just a minute. Don't go anywhere.
Dr. Eric and Tiffany Blasengame present Amazing Pollinators, on display now through May 27th at the Turtle Bay Museum. Immerse yourself in this visually stunning, game-based role-play adventure that explores the colorful and diverse world of pollinator and plant relationships. Amazing Pollinators at Turtle Bay Museum was created by Minotaur Mazes, a company specializing in interactive maze exhibits. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Experience for the first time glowing wild, an illuminated wildlife lantern display at Turtle Bay's McConnell Botanical Gardens at the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California. Open select dates March 29th through May 26, 2024. Year of the Dragon. Glowing Wild will feature 10 acres of botanical gardens filled with larger-than-life Asian lantern displays of animals from around the world, plus music, animation, food and drinks, and more. Don't miss Glowing Wild at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Buy tickets now at turtlebay.org.
I'm five.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. Daily Wire has this report. Representative Rashida Tlaib got testy with Fox Business reporter Hillary Vaughn over a question about a rally in her home district where anti-Israel protesters chanted death to America and called for the eradication of Israel. Anti-American protesters, more importantly, calling death to America. The rally in question, which took place in Dearborn, Michigan, featured a speaker named Tariq Bazi, we played this clip a few days ago, who is affiliated with the Hadi Institute. And just to remind you, he said, "We've been asked in the past why our protests on the International Al-Quds Day are so anti-America. Why don't we just focus on Israel and not talk so much about America? Gaza has shown the entire world why their protests are so anti-America, because it's the United States government that provides the funds for all the atrocities that we just heard about." And then attendees shouted death to America, and they talked about, and he went on to go talking about why America should be dismantled entirely and so on. So this reporter tracked Rashid Tlaib down and asked her about this, because again, this was happening in her district, and these are her supporters, these are her voters, these are her constituents, and what does she have to say about it? Let's find out.
Congresswoman Tlaib,
Fox News. I don't talk to Fox News.
At a rally in your district, people were chanting death to America. Do you condemn?
I do not talk to Fox News.
But do you condemn chants of death to America?
I don't talk to people that use racist tropes.
Why can't you just say whether or not you condemn people chanting death to America? Why are you afraid to talk to Fox?
Fox News is not using racist tropes towards my community is what Fox News is about, and I don't talk to Fox News.
Is death to America racist?
I don't talk to Fox News.
Is chanting death to America racist?
I'm talking about your guys' racist tropes. You know, you guys know exactly what you do. And I know you're Islamophobic, but you guys got to go deal with it on your own self. You're not going to use me.
So it's Islamophobic. It's Islamophobic to object to Muslims chanting death to America in our own homeland. And you notice Tlaib almost sounds like she's about to cry there. You know, not because people were chanting death to America, of course, but because she's being asked to condemn it. And this should obviously be automatic expulsion from Congress. People are chanting death to America in your district. And if you cannot bring yourself to at least say out loud that you disagree with it, at least, can you at least give us that? I disagree with death to America. I don't want to see that. She can't do that. Well, and if you can't, then you're not fit for office. And by the way, this is not some kind of gotcha moment. But, and you see that from the media quite often. I mean, it's almost always targeted at Republicans, but where, you know, they'll call upon a Republican to denounce something that has nothing to do with them. But this is not that. Okay, because in this case, you have not only Tlaib's constituents, but her ideological allies calling for death to America in her district. And there's a very real question about whether she agrees with them or not, whether she condones it or not. I mean, really, there's no question about it. We know that she does condone it, agree with it. But that's why this is a relevant thing to ask her. And the headline is that she didn't answer the question, but she did answer it. If you're an American politician and someone asks you directly, right to your face, do you condemn those who say death to America? Not answering that is an answer. There's really no difference substantively between how she responded. On one hand, that, or if on the other hand, if she had just said, yes, I agree, death to America. I mean, if she had just started chanting death to America herself right there, standing in the halls of Congress, it would be the same answer, because that is the answer. She agrees with them. We'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact. B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy, too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your Internet at one time, and that requires a great Internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your Internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
Hello, this is Rollin from the Flag Center. Are you thinking about a new flagpole for Memorial Day or 4th of July? Well, now is a good time. Currently, our high-quality Titan telescoping poles are on sale at prices too low to advertise. These beautiful silver or dark bronze poles are backed by a lifetime warranty and wind-rated at 95 miles per hour. The Flag Center, 2124 Hilltop Drive, since 1982.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Hey, what's going on in Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
Celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, has teamed up with the Flag Center and are giving you a chance to win an American flag. And there are two ways to qualify to win a beautiful, high-quality American flag by Annan. We will be giving them away every Friday morning at 8:15. Now, the first way to qualify is listen weekdays between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott during Free Fire Radio. And they're going to let you know when to call in to qualify at 530-605-4566. And the second way to qualify, check out our Facebook page. Look for the American flag and type your name in the comments. Then, every Friday morning at 8:15, we will draw a winner of a beautiful American flag from the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive and your friends here at KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
And we're back with the Matt Walsh Show. All right, we've been talking, of course, about this week about the fight over abortion, the fight on the right among conservatives over abortion and what the position on that should be heading into the election. Even though, as we talked about yesterday, the position is really quite clear that killing babies is wrong. All the time. And that's really the position. And it's the clearest position. It's the right position. It's a pretty unassailable position morally and logically. But, there is not a consensus on that in the right. And, we know that Carrie Lake, who's running for Senate in Arizona, had already come out and said that she opposed a Supreme Court decision in Arizona that would result in the banning of most abortions in the state. So people on her side of this discussion have been saying that, well, this should not be a federal ban. It's a states' rights issue. And then we discover, what do you know, that they're claiming they just want it to be a states' rights issue. But then when a state actually does ban it, they don't like that either. So it turns out they don't want abortion to be states' rights. They just want there to be abortion. This is just pro-abortion is what it is. And so Carrie Lake put out a video yesterday, and it's a 5-minute video. We're not going to play the whole thing. I want to play at least the first portion of it, where she's talking about her views on the topic of abortion and why she opposes this abortion ban, even while claiming to be pro-life and be a conservative. Let's watch some of this.
This total ban on abortion that the Arizona Supreme Court just ruled on is out of line with where the people of this state are. The issue is less about banning abortion and more about saving babies. I agree with President Trump. This is such a personal and private issue. I chose life. But I'm not every woman. I want to make sure that every woman who finds herself pregnant has more choices so that she can make that choice that I made. I'll never forget the first time I got pregnant, taking that pregnancy test, looking down, and I was excited, but I'll be honest, I was afraid as well. I was nervous. I was anxious. It's natural for women to be nervous and anxious when they're pregnant. I never would ever assume that any woman had the same exact feelings I had or situation I had. We know that some women are economically in a horrible situation. They might be in an abusive relationship. They might be the victim of rape. I agree with President Trump. We must have exceptions for rape, incest, and the life of a mother. We, as American people, don't agree on everything.
First of all, you know, there are some conservatives that are defending what you just watched there. If she did the same thing on immigration or gun control, you know, I don't think those conservatives would be defending her. And guess what? The most right wing, most conservative position on those topics is also not the mainstream. It's not where most people are. So now most Americans want immigration laws to be enforced. Most Americans don't want illegal immigrants taking our jobs. Most Americans want gun rights. But if you're truly conservative on these issues, you most likely take that far. I know I certainly do. You take that principle farther than the mainstream does. That's why that's why it's the mainstream. And I think that if Carrie Lake had, say, looked at the polls and then put out this little squishy video with the music in the background, the piano music, and explaining why she's moderated her positions on any other topic, I don't think it would be found acceptable by almost any conservative. And yet this is supposed to be acceptable on abortion. It's not. So here's the problem. Number one, this is just wrong. It's wrong. It's you know, if you care about that sort of thing, it is morally wrong. It's wrong on principle. To come out and in support of, well, women have to make choice. Sometimes you have to make the choice to kill your baby. It's just a choice that has to be made. It's a very personal, difficult choice to kill the baby. And sometimes you have to do that. It's actually a reprehensible, disgusting view. And also, it is politically suicidal. It is not going to work. So even if you don't care about the morality of it, even if you scoff at that, and you say, oh, yeah, Matt's just being a purist. He's trying to be one of those true conservative types. Fine. Then let's talk about the politics of it. Politically, it's a dumb strategy. It is the strategy the Republican establishment has been using for decades. It is not new. This is no different from what John McCain would do, or Mitt Romney, or any of the Bushes. Okay, Jeb, George, any of the Georges. It's the same thing. It's the exact same strategy, exact same position. Was it a brilliant political strategy when they did it? Has it been a path to conservative dominance in government at any point in the last 30, 40 years? Huh? No. This has always been the establishment Republican view, that the only way you win is by moderating your views, by looking at where the left is on a topic and coming as close as you can to them, while still pretending to be conservative, by getting as far away as you can from the right wing on every topic. That has been the Republican establishment strategy forever, and it has not worked. So what do you achieve here? What does Carrie Lake achieve with this video? Where she is, again, condemning a state ban on abortion. So this is not, you cannot hide behind states' rights. Arizona has the right, the state right, to pass this law. She's saying she doesn't want the law. It's a pro-life law she doesn't want. And the law even carves out in cases where the life of the mother is jeopardized. Even though you never need abortion to save the life of the mother, it's not real. But okay, if it was real, that has been carved out. That's an exception that's granted. She still doesn't like it. And instead we get this ridiculous video. Everything she's saying here, this is Clinton era Democrat talking points. This is Republican establishment talking points, which means that it is Clinton era, mid-90s Democrat talking points on abortion. Safe, legal, and rare is what she's talking about. She might as well have just said that directly, because that was the mantra of the pro-abortion movement for years and years and years. And that's what she's saying now. And it doesn't work politically. And I'll tell you why it doesn't work politically. For two reasons. Because here's what it does. It will not attract, you know, the kinds of voters who care so deeply about abortion that if you're not, you know, that if you're too pro-life, they won't vote for you. Those kinds of voters aren't voting for Republicans. Okay. If they care that much about abortion, they don't need the moderate, squishy, milquetoast version of pro-abortion. Why? They don't need that. They can go get the real thing from the Democrats if they care about it. They don't need that from you. So why, if I'm a voter in Arizona and I care a lot about killing babies, and I care so much about it that I would refrain from voting for a Republican because of it, why would this convince me to vote for Carrie Lake? Yeah, she's like moderately on my side now, but then the other guy is fully on my side. So I'll just vote for him. You can't find an angle here. You can't outflank the Democrat to his left on abortion. So it's not going to do much for those voters. What will it achieve? Well, I'll tell you one thing it will achieve is that you have alienated and betrayed the voters in your state who are pro-life and do care deeply about this issue. Now, sure, some of them will still vote for you. They'll hold their nose and vote for you, lesser of two evils and all that. But you have demoralized them, and demoralizing your base going into an election is a stupid strategy. It's also one that, if you notice, the Democrats never, ever do. They understand that having your base motivated and excited and amped up, they understand the value of that. It's only Republicans that don't get this. So that's all you've achieved. You've demoralized your own base. And it doesn't matter. Look, I know there are other conservatives that will lecture the conservatives in Arizona. Go vote for anyway, lesser of two evils. It'll be your fault. That's fine. You can lecture all you want, but I'm just telling you. And look, if you haven't been in the pro-life fight, if you haven't been in the movement, then I know you don't get it. I don't really care about your opinion. There are some people that have been in this fight for decades. They care deeply about it. You might not get it. You might not understand. But they care deeply about it because they actually do believe that babies are being killed by the millions. And so, if you believe that, it's impossible to not see this issue as at least one of the top issues that we face as a culture. And you need those voters as a Republican. You can't win without them. And so this is insanely stupid. It really is. Now, because she didn't have to put this video out. She didn't have to come out and now if you want to say that, okay, well, sure. But it would also be politically unwise in her position to come out, you know, openly and passionately advocating an abortion bans across the board and making that a central part of her campaign and talking about it a lot. If you want to say that would also be politically unwise, yeah, maybe it would be. Kind of depends on where you're running, what state you're running in, and what the situation is. But that's one thing. As a political calculation, it's one thing for a Republican candidate to say, okay, I'm going to, you know, we'll talk about this a little bit. I'll give my position. I'm not going to make it the focus of my campaign for political reasons. That's one thing. It's another thing to come out with actual pro-abortion talking points. I mean, Carrie Lake has spoken out about the abortion issue multiple times this week, but to condemn the pro-life position. And then here's what's going to happen. That if she loses, pro-lifers are going to be the scapegoats. So that's really what's happening here. You got some Republicans setting pro-lifers up to be the scapegoats when they lose. That's the plan. And it's really disgusting and reprehensible. And it's the same thing they did in the midterms, using pro-lifers as a scapegoat. Meanwhile, you have dipshits like Dr. Oz running as Republicans. You think maybe that's the reason they lost? The guy's pro-abortion, and he lost. So is that pro-lifer's fault? You're choosing terrible candidates who aren't even conservative, and then they lose, and it's the fault of pro-lifers that happened. So that's how they're setting this up. And it is, again, it's on moral grounds. It is disgusting, but then also, if you don't care about that, just to reiterate, on political grounds, it is really, really stupid, and it's not going to work. I'll tell you that right now. It is not going to work. We'll be right back with more after a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
You can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
We'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
Attention all gardening enthusiasts. It's time to celebrate 50 years of greenery and growth at Gold Leaf Nursery in Reading. That's right, folks. For almost a half a century, Gold Leaf Nursery has been your go-to destination for all things garden-related. And to mark this incredible milestone, they're throwing the biggest sale this year. The nursery is blooming with vibrant perennials and annuals, hardy shrubs, succulents, and majestic trees, vegetables, herbs, roses, ground coverings, along with 1 gallon or larger and all bagged soil amendments. Their extensive selection ensures that there's something for every taste and style. And don't forget about their premium selection of statuaries, fountains, and bird baths to add that perfect finishing touch. At Gold Leaf Nursery, they're not just about selling plants. They're about cultivating joy, creating memories, and nurturing connections with nature. Come visit them today and let them help turn your outdoor space into a sanctuary you'll love coming home to. Thanks for voting Gold Leaf Nursery best in the North State. Come check them out on Churn Creek Road, 1/4 mile from Airport Road. Open Tuesday through Saturday.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. Big box store body shops to come to our area. They contract with as many insurance companies as possible. They provide discounts for these referrals. This allows the insurance company to dictate the parts and repair process to ensure the lowest cost of repairs as possible. This is not in your best interest for your expensive investments. At Coachmaster, we work for our customer, not the insurance company. We have no obligation to cut parts prices or use inferior parts. We follow strict manufacturer repair guidelines. It's your choice and your choice alone where you choose to have your vehicle repaired. Coachmaster was established in Reading in 1969 and doing quality repairs in Reading for over 55 years. Coachmaster has proven to be your best choice for collision repair. And yes, it is your choice. Our friendly service and quality repairs will have you referring all your friends and family. And remember, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
This is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. Bit of a special treat for you today. I have obtained exclusive, and I assure you, very real footage of something that absolutely begs for cancellation. Every aspect of what you're about to see deserves to be canceled. Not just canceled, but exiled out into the desert, alone, rejected by society. This is video from something called the Ally Awards at the Department of Interior. And after obtaining this video, I Googled the Ally Awards to learn more, and I found this document, which I assume refers to the same event. It says, the Ally Engagement and Enrichment Week Ally Awards are a People's Choice Awards sponsored by diversity change agent programs across Interior. This program empowers the workforce to recognize peer contributions towards a more inclusive culture in the workplace. And my favorite detail comes at the very end of the document. It says, nominations can be submitted by a second party or can be self-nominated. So the good news is that you can nominate yourself in order to recognize yourself for your own role as a diversity change agent. You don't need to wait for someone else to declare you an ally. You could just declare yourself, which is wonderful, in my opinion. Actually, I was so inspired that I sent Daily Wire Management an email this morning nominating myself for an award to recognize my own allyship. I'm still waiting for a response, though. Over in the Department of Interior, where our tax money is being used on this stuff, the Ally Awards were held virtually, of course, and it was a truly beautiful event. In fact, the event even featured a stirring performance of a poem called I Am Diversity. And here's how it was set up. Watch.
And now we would like to share a poem entitled I Am Diversity. The story behind this is we discovered this several years ago when we were designing an interior Toastmasters diversity change agent poetry forum, and that we were so moved by it, we've since decided to incorporate that, and really resonates, and it echoes a lot of the themes that we learned about this week. This is by Charles Benefield, and what you're about to see is a video of BOEM and BESI employees who participated in a recording and a recitation of this poem. Please enjoy.
Okay, well, we'll listen to the poem in a second, but they were moved by this poem. They were moved by it. And they were so moved by it that they felt inspired to get a bunch of employees together to recite it. And so here is the poem.
I am diversity. Please include me.
I'm present in every place you go.
Depending on your lens, I'm friend or foe.
I'm forced to be reckoned with.
Like the winds of change, I move. I'm swift.
I'm present when two or more are together.
If embraced, I can make the good even better.
I don't mean to interrupt this stirring rendition. I promise we'll listen to more of it as much as you don't want to. But I do have to make special note of that last line. I'm present when two or more are together. Now, students of Scripture will recognize that that is a line from the Gospel of Matthew, except that in that case, it is referring to Jesus Christ. And here it is referring to diversity. So if you've ever doubted that DEI is a religion to these people, well, there you go. And let's continue.
I'm not limited to age, gender, or race.
I'm invisible at times and yet all over the place.
Don't exclude me due to a lack of knowledge.
Welcome me like the recruit fresh out of college.
Let me take my seat at the table,
even though I may be differently able.
My experience, my passion, your time to me
can help add value for your company.
Learn about me, improve my underrepresentation,
and I can provide a competitive edge to your entire nation.
I exclude no one. I am strengthened by all.
My name is Diversity, and yes, I stand tall.
Recognize me and keep me in the mix.
Together, there's no problem that we can't fix.
I'm your best hope towards true innovation.
And to many, I reflect hope and inspiration.
Your lives and companies will continue to change.
Thus, the need for diversity and inclusion will also remain.
I am diversity.
Yes,
that's me.
I'm not crying. You are.
Thank you so much, Alexandra.
She's crying. I mean, why wouldn't she be crying over such an emotionally gripping poem? There were so many stunning lines, but my favorite was probably, let me take my seat at the table, even though I may be differently abled. And then second place for me was this. My experience, my passion, the authentic me can help add value to your company. Now, say what you want about the writing, but at least it rhymes, sort of. That's more than could be said about most of the bad poetry I've forced you to endure on this show over the years. So you have to take the silver linings wherever you can find them. Now, when most normal people watch a video like the one we just saw, the thing that they will focus on, understandably so, is the political element. The fact that something called the Ally Awards even exists and that it's being held on the taxpayer's dime and time and that they've recited, they're reciting diversity poems and all the rest of it demonstrates, again, just how deep the ideological rot goes. And this is in a government agency that was founded in the 1840s to conserve and manage federal land. So it's not the kind of agency that you would expect to be hyper woke, if you didn't know any better anyway. But as this demonstrates, every federal agency is hyper woke. The virus infects every level of the federal government, every department, every agency, the entire bureaucracy is this, which is why the next Republican president in 2024, hopefully, needs to gut these agencies with a chainsaw. I mean, take them apart, cut them into pieces. There are about 2 million, I think, civilians working for the federal government, which means that at least a million people should be unemployed a few days after Trump takes over. Cutting half of them is a modest start. And that's the only way to treat this disease. You set a goal to fire a million federal employees in the first 15 days. Call it 15 days to slow the spread. That's how you deal with the political sickness. But this isn't just about politics. To me, the most disturbing thing about the video is how childish it is. Like, putting the wokeness factor entirely to the side, if they presented a poem like that to middle school students, I would say it's a bit infantilizing for kids that age. That it quite literally sounds like the kind of thing you might recite to kindergartners. Now, not that I think that they should talk about diversity and inclusion to kindergartners either, but the quality of the poem, the artistic sophistication, is at best kindergarten level. You know, it reads like something that you might find on a poster hanging in the guidance counselor's office at your kid's elementary school. And if you think I'm exaggerating about that, by the way, then here you go. Watch this. Okay, so that was an actual group of elementary school kids performing the exact same poem. The poem that adult government employees found so moving and beautiful that they had to get together and perform it for each other. This is elementary schoolers performing it. Because our country is being run not just by woke leftists, but by woke leftists with the intelligence, not to mention the artistic sensibilities, of five-year-olds. Which is no surprise, I suppose. The wokeness and the five-year-old intelligence tend to go hand in hand, which is why the entire Department of Interior is today canceled. That's all we have for today and this week. Have a great weekend. Talk to you on Monday. Until then, Godspeed.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. The United States views Iran's threat to attack Israel as credible.
National Security Spokesman John Kirby isn't discussing intelligence details or timelines, but says,
we do believe that this still is a viable threat.
Kirby says the U.S. is communicating with Israel about making sure they can defend themselves against an Iranian attack. Israel's military said it's ready if Iran retaliates for a deadly airstrike on the Iranian consulate in Syria. Greg Clugston, Washington.
U.S. House passes a bill to reauthorize a key federal surveillance program. Oregon Senator Ron Wyden says he'll do everything in his power to stop it, saying the bill represents one of the most dramatic and terrifying expansions of government surveillance authority in history. He says it means anyone with access to a computer server, cable box, Wi-Fi router, or phone could be forced to spy on the government's behalf. He says Americans couldn't talk about it and there would be no court oversight. A drug paradox in Mexico.
A new government report says the country's facing a dire shortage of fentanyl for medical use, even as Mexican cartels pump out tons of the illicit narcotic. A study by Mexico's National Commission on Mental Health and Addictions did not give a reason for the shortage of the synthetic opioid, which is needed for anesthesia in hospitals, but claimed it was a worldwide problem. The commission said fentanyl had to be imported, and that imports fell by more than 50% between 2022 and 2023. Nonetheless, Mexican cartels import tons of precursor chemicals to make illicit fentanyl. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Wallet Hub reports Honolulu, Miami, St. Louis, Seattle, Dallas, and the San Bernardino area in Southern California are dealing with inflation rates above the national average. The study found inflation is not confined to any one distinct area of the U.S. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This has been confirmed. Those brave Americans who are trying to preserve free speech continue to be censored, shadow banned, or silenced. Wealth Protection Research is on a mission to share the liberating ideas of some of America's brightest and most free thinkers. People like Jim Rickards and Porter Stansberry, whose ideas are putting financial control back in the hands of everyday people, helping them protect their money against a government that seems intent on destroying it. Text TRUTH to 76626 to find out more. As this election moves forward, we just released a report that reveals our three favorite ideas for protecting and growing your wealth during the 2024 election. These ideas are especially critical if you have an IRA or 401k. Text TRUTH to 76626. Discover ideas that are so simple and actionable, they might save your retirement. Text TRUTH to 76626 now for your free report. That's TRUTH to 76626. Standard text and data rates may apply.
Uber and Lyft are still in Minneapolis for now.
Uber and Lyft will delay their planned exit from the city to July 1st after the city council unanimously decided to push back the start of an ordinance that increases driver pay from the original May 1st date. Some council members said this gives other ride-hailing companies more time to establish themselves in the market before Uber and Lyft potentially leave, and it gives Minnesota lawmakers a chance to pass statewide rules. The ordinance is intended to ensure companies pay drivers the equivalent of the city's minimum wage of $15.57 an hour. Ron DeRockster reporting.
Three men stranded on an uninhabited Pacific atoll survived for over a week before being rescued. Fishermen got in trouble after a boat hit a coral reef and took on water. They spelled out help with palm leaves on a beach, enabling Coast Guard and Navy aviators to pinpoint them on the island 1,800 miles east of the Philippines. News and analysis at townhall.com. Researchers find that most cancer drugs granted accelerated approval by the FDA do not deliver.
The program allows the FDA to grant early approval to drugs that show favorable initial results against debilitating or fatal diseases. In exchange, drug companies are expected to do rigorous testing and produce better evidence before gaining full approval. The study found that between 2013 and 2017, there were 46 cancer drugs granted accelerated approval. Of those, only 43% demonstrated they improved or extended patients' lives in confirmatory trials.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting. Neiman Marcus is facing a lawsuit for allegedly selling fur products in California. Despite their own policy and the statewide prohibition in effect since 2023, the retailers accused of offering fur items online to California customers. Advocacy groups highlight the ongoing sale of items such as coats made of fox and beaver fur. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, friends. Tobacco and Brew here with a new cigar of the humidor. La Aroma de Cuba Pasión. Straight from the estate of Don Pepin Garcia comes this excellently crafted cigar. Profound notes of nougat, leather, molasses, and cedar please the palate throughout. La Aroma de Cuba Pasión. Be sure to get yours today. Tobacco and Brew. Redding, California.
Experience luxurious bliss with Pinnacle Cultivators, Redding's premier licensed legacy cultivator exclusively at the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake. Pinnacle's carefully crafted, expertly curated flower guarantees an exceptional experience with rare genetics and distinctive flavors, freshly packaged daily for a genuine farm-to-table experience. Visit 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-276-9771 for delivery and hours of operation. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragon. At Black Bear Diner, sandwich stacks are here, and they're tall on irresistible flavors. Indulge in a double bacon stack, hand-breaded crispy chicken stack, a tri-tip cheddar stack, or a crispy cod stack. There's a stack for everyone. Get yours today at Black Bear Diner. Now available for limited time. Served all day, every day. In Redding on Hilltop Drive, order one now at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
It's the police they hate. Oh, speaking of which, a number of NYPD officers once again assaulted violently by illegal aliens, a mob of illegal aliens, who are staying free at a hotel. Well, it's not free. It's just that we're paying for it. It's free for them. It's not free for us, you know, the taxpayers. But this gang of illegal aliens and the police were called to the hotel where we're putting them up. We're very generous people. I assume they get the free buffet breakfast every day because wouldn't be fair to not give the illegal alien gang members with tattoos on their faces free breakfast and all that. And so we got that. The police were called because of a violent illegal alien man. And when the police went to arrest the illegal alien man, he's saying over and over again, they're not going to take me. They're not going to, you won't get me alive, copper. He's like, it was very James Cagney, but in Espanol. So it sounds a little different, but still the same thing. And then a gang of illegal aliens jumped in and were assaulting the police and obstructing the police because and that's how the Democrats know that they're going to be Democrat Party voters. Because they see that they're illegal aliens, they're criminals, they attack the police, they steal stuff, they expect free stuff from the taxpayers. Clearly Democrats in the making. And the Democrat Party knows that. That's why we're going to need mass deportations. Start catapulting them out like it's a Monty Python movie. Just zoom, boom, splashing into the Gulf of Mexico. Choom, boom, psh, by the millions. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think everybody will enjoy it. Well, maybe not everybody. But a lot of us will enjoy it. That'll be a lot of fun. Yeah, so in Yonkers, New York, it's Yonkers. They still call it Yonkers, too. You know, you'd think that over time they'd take a look at that and say, Yonkers? Yonkers? And they'd find a new name, but they haven't. It's still Yonkers, New York. And that's where the illegal aliens are being put up. Generosity. American people. We're very giving. In a nice hotel. And where they're being so rowdy that the police are called on them. Then they assault the police. And then gangs of illegals jump in and assault the police. Because Democrats. Oh, and then there's the Afghan national. That is, he's not a like a shawl. But from the nation of Afghanistan, which is a beep hole country, just by the way. And this illegal alien terror watch list let go by Joe Biden into the country after being caught illegally coming into the country. Send him to court because our federal law enforcement people grabbed the illegal alien on the terror watch list from Afghanistan. And then you turn him over to a Democrat and the Democrat judge, you know, the processing everybody into the country so they can murder your children. The Democrat judge Biden, in effect, waives the illegal alien from Afghanistan on the terror watch list into the United States of America because they figure, what could go wrong? What is he, O.J. Simpson? Come on. What's the deal? Crazy man, crazy. Cornel West is having an anxiety attack wondering whether his candidacy might help Donald Trump. It will. So keep on running, Cornel West. And he's got this, like, communist lunatic as his running mate now. But pay no attention to that. We'll get into that as well. Remarkable stuff. Also, what is the number we have now? How many illegal alien Chinese illegal aliens? How many of those Chinese illegal aliens have come into the country under Joe Biden? And it's not an easy thing, but apparently the Customs and Border Protection now say that since the beginning of fiscal year 2023, which is about a year and a half ago, we've had 46,000, nay, more than 46,000 illegal aliens enter the country through our southern border just from communist China. That's two military divisions of overwhelmingly Chinese men, and then they brought some women along, but I don't want to tell you why they brought them along. That's another thing altogether. 46,000 communist Chinese. What's the problem with that? Also, speaking of anti-Semite Democrats, an amazing story out of, well, not amazing, but appalling, you know, often appalled, but rarely shocked. You know, the old saying, shocked and appalled. It's difficult to be shocked by the behavior of the Democrat Party anymore, but it's entirely appropriate to be appalled. And UC Berkeley Dean, the Dean of the University of California at Berkeley Law School, who is a Jewish man with his Jewish wife, invited some students over to their place for, you know, some light snacks, probably halal friendly, and a little casual conversation. And it turns out they invited a bunch of jihadis who were crazed, hijab-wearing anti-Semites who were screaming, going crazy about how great Palestine is. And one of them, who's like in her 20s, claims that her home was stolen from her by the dirty Jews. And so, you know, this obviously left-wing, liberal, radical Democrat, UC Berkeley Law School dean. Did I mention that he's a lefty and a liberal? He invites these anti-Semites. It's the mainstream of the Democrat Party. And it leads to disruption at UC Berkeley Law Dean's home. Poses questions about free speech. That's not really what it raises questions about. But, you know, you can always expect the news media to get everything wrong. So we've got that, and I've got some audio for you from that anti-Semitic event at UC Berkeley, which, if that's not the home of liberalism and the Democrat Party, then nothing is. So we got that Jewish UC Berkeley dean confronts pro-Palestinian activists at his home. Well, actually, that's the LA Times headline. That's the opposite of the truth. He invited these jihadis, these bloodthirsty ghouls, these devil-worshipping anti-Semites to his home because he's an open-minded liberal. And then they, you see, confronted him. But the Los Angeles Times headline gets it exactly backward, precisely backward. No, they confronted him. He didn't confront them. And the headline shows that they don't know what their job is. They don't know what they're doing. But they did have Jawed Kalim write the story. Jawed, you think is your local neighborhood pot dealer. Jawed. But no, Jawed Kalim wrote the story for the Los Angeles Times. And in his version of events, it was the Jewish dean that confronted the students in his own home. See, after they went crazy, you know, jihad crazy. But pay no attention because facts really don't matter with them. Also, we're standing by for Iran to attack Israel this time and to do it themselves rather than by proxy, as they are in the habit of doing and as we witness every day from Yemen to Gaza to Lebanon and beyond. But and then, you know, we got Syria, and we got you know, they're Iran. They're the most blood-drenched regime on the planet right now. And then you have, well, not in terms of raw numbers. I guess that's the Russia-Ukraine war in terms of raw numbers. And the news media doesn't cover the Ukraine war. Have you noticed that? Name a war correspondent who's covering the Ukraine war. Name an event in the Ukraine war in the recent past. How many casualties? I talk about it every now and then, but it's not even in the Washington Post anymore. We just throw billions and billions and billions of dollars at it pay no attention to that. We just want to keep the word going for the military-industrial complex because Joe Biden is the president of war. Of course, Obama bombed 8 countries while he was president, the greatest number of countries that any president has bombed since World War II. But that's not important now, is it? Sure it is. It's very important. So we got that. I got to tell you, some of the news media stuff on OJ is just great. The CNN had a funny person on talking about the OJ death yesterday, and it was kind of funny. Also in Seattle, because of Democrats in Seattle, there is a dance squad of teenage girls, and they showed up for a dance competition, a dance event, and the team of girls, dance team, they showed up with American flags on poles, and they're wearing outfits. Half the girls, their top. Can I call it a top? I would call it a shirt, because I'm a man, but I think women call them tops. And their tops, half the girls have red and white striped tops, and the other half of the girls have tops with a blue field and white stars. You see, it's an American flag theme that the teenage girls are wearing for the dance competition. But the headline is Seattle Dance Squad says they were told American flag shirts made audience members feel, quote, triggered and unsafe. Triggered and unsafe because the American flag was in evidence. And when they said that, helicopter gunships were brought in, and the field was hosed down with 20-millimeter cannon fire. And tragically, all of the complainers died. It was very sad. Very sad indeed. Just remarkable. But I'll update you on that. That didn't really happen, the last part. But I'll update you on that anyway. Also, Catherine Herridge and Cheryl Atkinson testifying on Capitol Hill yesterday as to how awful our news media is. And they would know because they've been paying attention. They're news reporters and everything. Remarkable things we have today. Donald Trump still being assailed by his political enemies by way of what we call lawfare now. This is a new term relatively that has been introduced to the lexicon in the last 5 years or so. The Democrat Party, the left, as happens all over the corrupt world, didn't used to happen in the United States, but now it does. They use the law as a form of warfare against you, and so we call it lawfare. See, it's a portmanteau. We're combining like law and warfare, and it's a lawfare. And they continue to assail Donald Trump and even Alan Dershowitz, who self-describes as a, you know, a Democrat. He's an old, long-time Democrat, and he can't believe what he's saying. Oh, and he's talking about OJ too, because he was on the OJ team. He was on the OJ team, and Jonathan Turley on the lawfare being waged against President Trump. Just a few of the things we have to scratch the surface of the crazy that the Democrats have given us today. And, you know, Iran threatening to, we're braced for an attack, 24 or 48 hours, 72 hours, Iran attacking Israel, doing it with funds given to them by Joe Biden and the Democrats, attacking our ally and the defender of Western civilization, the defender of civilization itself, Benjamin Netanyahu and Israel. The Democrat Party is against him, and they have saddled up with Hamas, a genocidal death cult. If you're a Democrat and you're Jewish, you need mental help. You need to talk to someone. You can talk to me. You can just listen to me. It might be better that way. Yes, sir. And Germany, their permanent reliance on Russia for energy, just as President Trump warned them about. But we've got that today as well. We are at 888-630-9625.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Chris Plant here with a very important message. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, have unfiled tax returns, or owe back taxes, don't mess with the IRS. It rarely ends well. Call my friends at Legal Tax Defense today at 800-472-0467. IRS is cracking down this year by sending out heart-stopping letters, actively garnishing paychecks, seizing bank accounts, and putting liens on homes and businesses. You better watch out, because penalties and interest on unpaid taxes compound daily, making it seem impossible that you'll ever get out of debt. Don't let tax problems ruin your life. You need to call Legal Tax Defense, the no-nonsense tax professionals. Legal Tax Defense is one of America's most trusted tax resolution firms. Call my friends at Legal Tax Defense for free consultation today. Let them help you solve your tax problems now. Don't wait. Call 800-472-0467. That's 800-462-0467. Or go to LegalTaxDefense.com.
The good folks at Wendy's have a revolutionary new product for you. Introducing the new Orange Dreamsicle Frosty. It's like a time machine that takes you all the way back to now, the year 2024. It's the classic, creamy, orangey flavor you remember. Dare I say, it's new timey. It's the flavor you grew up with, just all grown up. Head over to your local Wendy's establishment and get yours while supplies last. The new Orange Dreamsicle Frosty. Here for the now, for now.
Limited time only at participating Wendy's.
You can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Sneezing, coughing, stuffy nose, runny nose, postnasal drip, interrupted sleeping. I was groggy at the end of the day.
Allergies and sinus congestion were making Jana miserable. Then a friend recommended Navage. Navage provides immediate drug-free congestion relief, flushing your nasal passages with refreshing saline and sucking out mucus, germs, and other airborne irritants. Navage helps you breathe easier, sleep better, and feel your best right away.
Navage gave me instant relief. I didn't have to wait 30 minutes. I didn't have to wait an hour, 90 minutes. I didn't have to wait a minute. I ran the rinse and I felt better.
Stop suffering from congestion and start breathing and feeling your best again with Navage. N-A-V-A-G-E.
I've had people ask me how I find relief, and I tell them Navage immediately. This thing is amazing.
Navage is available at Navage.com or at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, and Rite Aid.
Our excellence is shining, yet so many of us are dying. Colon cancer is silently killing our people, our friends, and family. So screen we must. We do this for all of us. The health revolution must begin. From diagnosis to death rates, colon cancer can no longer win. Ravaging Black communities, colon screenings are a must. They're recommended for those 45 and up to pinpoint and treat the signs. If detected early, colon cancer is treatable, 91% beatable. It's on us to stand up to cancer once and for all. What's up? This is Will I Am, and I'm joining Stand Up to Cancer and Providence Health System to let you know that colon cancer affects the Black community at a higher rate. But there's hope. Getting screened for colon cancer can save your life. So learn about your screening options, including easy-to-use at-home tests. Ask your doctor or go to providence.org/colon cancer to determine which screening option is right for you.
Furnished by Stand Up to Cancer.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? A man age 50 non-tobacco user can obtain $500,000 of coverage for as little as $110 per month. Level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. Call Term Busters for a quote. 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, call Term Busters. 1-800-908-7636. Sample rate for preferred non-tobacco rate class. Exam required to qualify.
Fellow Americans, former CIA officer Jason Hansen here. Market instability and soaring debt have put your retirement at risk. For protection, I recommend diversifying into physical gold from Advantage Gold, a 5-star rated gold company I've used for years. Their customer service is unmatched. Call 800-741-GOLD now and say Jason Hansen sent you and get a free 2024 gold investing kit. Again, call 800-741-GOLD.
Hey!
Okay, so as always, way too much stuff for one simple three-hour radio show. But we'll see what we can get to. And we'll leave some of the other stuff to other people on the radio that will, you know, handle it very capably, I'm sure. Right now, let's go to the telephones. Again, 888-630-9625. Let's go to Matt, calling from St. Louis, Missouri. Matthew, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Chris. Happy Friday and glove doesn't fit topia. And so I think now that OJ's dead, the pro-Hamas protests should be able to end. Hopefully they'll end, because for months they've been chanting, kill the juice, kill the juice. And now that he's gone, you know, hopefully they can go home and get over it. So wanted to throw in one other thing. Last Friday, you were talking about St. Louis Mayor Tashara Jones and holding gas station owners and convenience store owners accountable for crime at their locations. And they are implementing a plan. When everyone's forced on the electric vehicles, there won't be any gas stations left. So, you know, another problem solved by Democrats.
They are problem solvers, aren't they? And, you know, chanting on campuses, college campuses from Harvard and MIT on down George Washington University, kill the juice, kill the juice. I'm not sure. I might have been looking at different rallies, but Matt, I think they were yelling, kill the Jews, kill the Jews, not kill the juice, because, you know, why would they dislike O.J. Simpson? He murdered those people, and they love murder, don't they?
Yes, they did. Well, so I guess as Emily Latella would say, never mind.
That was another Emily Latella moment. That is, that's good stuff. Kill the juice. No, it wasn't the juice. The juice. It was the Jews. Crazy. And yet, UC Berkeley. Where do you hear this stuff from? UC Berkeley at the dean of the law school's home. A Jewish man with his Jewish wife made the mistake of inviting Democrats over. And it turned into like the, you know, Bergen-Belsen barbecue. It was completely crazy because the Democrats are doing everything they can to destroy America as we know it, the fundamental transformation of America. And, yeah, the mayor of St. Louis, I did talk about her last week, where if you get robbed, it's your fault. She is a Democrat who says she's going to hold people accountable for being robbed. Not going to hold the robbers accountable, the gun-toting criminal thugs. The soon-to-be murderers who will be gunned down by the police, and then they'll blame the police, like in Chicago. A Democrat young man shot a police officer, fired 11 shots, injured one police officer. Turns out it's the fault of the police.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
So you know what that means. Hot cars! And cool April 9th is back, April 19th to the 28th. It's going to be bigger than ever. So mark your calendar for 10 days of classic car fun. This year has more show and shine, a drive-in movie, cornhole tournament with $1,000 in prizes. Don't forget to dust off your lawn chairs for the big cruise on Friday, April 26th. End the week by coming to the biggest show and shine of them all at the Civic Auditorium on Saturday, April 27th. There will be 2,000 classic cars on display, tons of great food, a variety of vendors, and lots of chances to win prizes at our annual Poker Walk or Raffle City. Get your tickets today at any of the 8 local Napa Auto Parts stores to avoid the line. Cool April Nights returns April 19th to the 28th, so mark your calendars. For a full schedule of events, go to CoolAprilNights.com. That's CoolAprilNights.com.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact, B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy, too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your Internet at one time, and that requires a great Internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your Internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best dish.
Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
This is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up, fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Life is always easier when we make good decisions. Taking care of your vehicle with regular maintenance is a smart decision that will save you money. Going to Premier Oil Change for regular maintenance is another great decision and an easy way to maintain your new car warranty. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Come experience fast drive-through service with no appointment required. Premier changes your fluids while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point service. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. And in Anderson, across from Roundtable, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Hi, this is Linda
spot. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, I'm Adam Ryan, presiding judge of the Shasta County Superior Court. The Superior Court is now accepting applications from those individuals that are interested in serving on the Shasta County Grand Jury. To apply or get more information, please visit our website at ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
The grand jury is one of the most important volunteer opportunities you can be part of. The deadline is April 12th. Get your application in today. To apply or get details, visit ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
Please apply now.
And he was found not guilty in the criminal court, but then he was found guilty in the civil court, and he was ordered to pay $33 million, which he didn't pay, because why would he? But the Los Angeles Times wrote their obituary for O.J. Simpson. Long before the city woke up on a fall morning in 2017, Trump walked out of Lovelock Correctional Center outside Reno, a free man for the first time in 9 years. He didn't go far, moving into 5,000-square-foot home in Vegas with a Bentley in the driveway. See the bitterness and the resentment about 5,000 square feet and a Bentley in the driveway. But wait a minute. You just said in O.J. Simpson's obituary that long before the city woke up in a fall morning in 2017, Trump walked out of Lovelock Correctional Center outside Reno, Nevada. That's where O.J. Simpson had been sent to prison because he went to a hotel with another guy and they had a gun and they stole a bunch of O.J. Simpson paraphernalia, which didn't seem like a good idea at the time. And in retrospect, it still didn't seem like a good idea. But the Trump derangement syndrome, as it is commonly known, is just beyond the ken. It's insane. These people are in the midst of a mental health crisis. Someone should call for help at the Los Angeles Times. They've got a writer that wrote this. Then they presumably have an editor that reviewed the O.J. Simpson obituary and didn't notice that Trump walked out of Lovelock Correctional Center. That's a prison. That's a jail outside of Reno, Nevada, of all places. A free man for the first time in 9 years. So Donald Trump did 9 years for a crime that he didn't commit. And the Los Angeles Times is there to report on it because they're insane. And their hatred is something they can't control. The headline, O.J. Simpson, whose murder trial riveted and divided the world, dies at 76. And, of course, you know, O.J. Simpson, whose rise and fall from American football hero to murder defendant to prison inmate fueled a rancorous public drama that obsessed the nation and spawned debates over race, justice, and retribution. Yeah, wait till you hear the woman on CNN, because she summed it up pretty well for the lefties. Turns out that not convicting O.J. Simpson was done deliberately by black jurors because white people who are rich murder people all the time and get away with it. That's what their position is. They're sticking to it. Very, very low IQ people, very ignorant people, people that don't follow the news, haven't followed the news in their lifetimes, don't know anything about history, don't know anything about our system of justice, but they're paranoid, wretched, racist, anti-American. What do we call those people, Michael? Ah, yes, Democrats. We call them Democrats. It's quite sad what's happened to the Democrat Party, but that is what has happened to the Democrat Party. And in the story, they accidentally said Trump was released from prison when they meant O.J. Simpson. And now if you go online to their online version of the story, it's as though it never happened. They erased it. Well, actually, technically, that's not 100% fair, because they did post a note saying, for the record, at 2:39 p.m. yesterday, an earlier version of this obituary used the wrong name when describing Simpson leaving Lovelock Correctional Center. The error has been corrected. That's it. They don't say, oops, we accidentally said it was the Republican nominee for the presidency of the United States, the presumed nominee. They just said, we had a little error, a little oops, a little goof. We accidentally said Donald Trump went to prison in Reno, Nevada for 9 years and was released in 2017. When we were talking about the wife-murdering mad slasher O.J. Simpson, and we have corrected that. Now it doesn't say Trump anymore. But they don't say we accidentally said Donald Trump was a mad slasher who went to prison, because our news media, just amazing. Now let's go to some audio. Soundbite number one, numero uno, as Democrats might say. A reporter at the White House with the Associated Press, Darlene Superville. Darlene Superville. Sounds like she should be a cartoon superhero. Darlene. Darlene the hero. Darlene Superville asked Cringe on Pierre about O.J. Simpson. And, hey, what about Joe Biden? Any reaction to O.J. Simpson dying from the President of the United States since he was a Democrat?
Was there any reaction from the President to O.J. Simpson's death? Do you know if they ever crossed paths? If so, how, when?
So I'll say this. Our thoughts are with his families during this difficult time.
Obviously, not prayers.
His family and loved ones. And I'll say this. I know that they have asked for some privacy, and so we're going to respect that. I'll just leave it there.
Just going to leave it there. I mean, her favorite line, I'm just going to leave it there, or some variation of that. Our thoughts are with the family, not thoughts and prayers, because they don't want to be accused of being complete hypocrites, you know, which they are, of course. But never mind that. So just thoughts, no prayers, and that's it. And privacy, they're going to respect the privacy of the O.J. Simpson family, or at least what's left of the O.J. Simpson family. You know, the obituary said that at the time of his death, he was surrounded by his children and grandchildren, but not the mother of his children or the grandmother of his grandchildren, because he cut her head off with a big knife one night in Los Angeles. Pay no attention to that. So the thoughts are with the family. And nothing about the family of Nicole Brown, who was murdered by O.J. Simpson, or Ron Goldman, who was murdered by O.J. Simpson, because why would you bring that up? Our thoughts are with the family of O.J. Simpson at the sad occasion of his passing. Isn't that amazing? Yes, it is. Also, National Panhandler Radio, they put out a headline. Their headline was, breaking news, the football great Orenthal James Simpson, comma, known as O.J., comma, has died. The headline was originally longer. They had to slash it. I know, you got to keep slashing things, because O.J. Simpson, not really known for the Naked Gun movies, in the end, it's for that brutal murder, and the Bruno Mali shoes, the ugly-ass shoes that he'd never wear, except here he is on the sidelines of football game after football game wearing those ugly-ass Bruno Mali shoes. And the, what were they, $500, $600 gloves that his wife bought him at a very fancy, expensive department store in New York City that he was wearing in Los Angeles, that had the slash in the finger right where there was a cut in his hand, nothing to see there. And the blood in the hotel room in Chicago, and being late for his limousine driver. And Cato Kaelin, who was on television last night, Cato Kaelin. Did you see Cato Kaelin? He looks good. He doesn't look like a drug-addicted alcoholic living in somebody's driveway. He looks pretty darn good, I got to say. Good for Cato Kaelin. He was always a little bit funny. And the poor guy, he was just, you know, mooching a free place to stay off of O.J. Simpson, finds himself in a courtroom under oath, being Cato Kalin. I got to tell you, if you're too young to remember all of this, I feel sorry for you, because this was one of the it was one of the most amazing news stories in the history of the world. It was truly incredible. Man, I'm telling you. All right, now let's get to more stuff, because because the news media and their friends. Oh, let's go to CNN. They had Stephanie Elam, E-L-A-M. Stephanie Elam was on. She is a woman of color, W-O-C. She appeared to be African-American. I'd say not entirely, but partially. It's enough to be a victim. So she was invited on CNN to make some outrageous claims like this one. And see, the reason O.J. was let go by the jury in the murder trial is because white guys who are rich murder women and men all the time, their ex-wives, and decapitate them with big knives and have DNA all over the place, and the evidence is just irrefutable. And then they get away with it because they're white. And that's why O.J. was not convicted by the overwhelmingly majority black jury.
And it's also worth noting, because of that unrest, that racial unrest in the 90s, that is why so many people who may not have been invested in O.J. Simpson were just happy to see that someone who was rich and famous and black could get away with what other people did in the system as well, too.
That's right, because white people get away with murdering people all the time because the system is so racist. See, it's that, you know, historical racism, fundamental racism. What's the institutional racism? All the racism that's everywhere, even though it isn't. They're the biggest racists in the conversation, but pay no attention to that. This morning, CNN had a woman on named Ashley Allison. She sounds very white, doesn't she? Sounds like, isn't that a, no, she's not very white. And sounds very white, though. Ashley Allison sounds like she should go to a girls' private school. She's a Harvard organizer. Of course she is. She's Ashley Allison. And a Biden transition team member. She also worked in the Obama White House. So she's very old. And she said that, well, it's kind of amazing, but CNN, this is, if you watch CNN, this is the news. You get this woman, Stephanie Elam, that you just listened to. The reason the jury let him off is because white people murder their wives and waiters all the time and get away with it because you're a racist. Everybody's a racist. She's not a racist. Everybody else is. It's remarkable. And here's Ashley Allison from Harvard, Biden transition team, Obama White House, this morning on CNN.
It's not like O.J. Simpson was the leader of the civil rights movement of his era. You know, he wasn't a social justice leader. But he represented something for the black community in that moment, in that trial, particularly because there were two white people who had been killed. And the history around how black people have been persecuted during slavery, there were just so many layers.
Slavery. It was revenge for slavery that O.J. murdered two white people. They were white, therefore it's different. And let's not forget about slavery, which was a Democrat institution, and she's obviously a Democrat working for Obama and Biden and going to Harvard. And I'll bet a dollar she's a virulent anti-Semite, too. She might lie about that, but then she'll chant from the river to the sea while eating shawarmas. I do like shawarmas, though. Those are delicious. Yeah, black people like O.J., you see, killed two white people, and slavery. So let's not forget about that, because that's the Democrat Party's worldview. The Democrat Party was racist and racist institution in 1861, and they're a racist institution in 2024. Make no mistake. Your Democrat Party. Gosh, there's so much more of the Democrat craziness. He's black. You know, it's not like he was a civil rights leader or anything like that. She just said, not part of the social justice movement. But, you know, slavery. That's why murdering white women, the mother of your children. Blonde hair. Did you see the story also? Just popped yesterday. It's been a secret for 30 years. that Robert Kardashian and another crooked lawyer went to USC to buy off women that O.J. Simpson had raped when he was in college. White women, blonde women, probably because of slavery. That's coming up.
He represented something for the black community in that moment, in that trial, particularly because there were two white people who had been killed.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Okay, if you're facing $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, other unsecured debt, or struggling to make monthly payments, you need to know that there are special services available right now that can significantly reduce what you pay every month by 40% or more. And that means if you qualify, you can save hundreds of dollars every month. Most people don't know that these services are available to help Americans with overwhelming credit card debt get significant savings and immediate financial relief without filing for bankruptcy. That's why Accredited Debt Relief has established a special hotline for you to call and learn what savings you may qualify for. They've helped consumers pay off more than $1 billion in debt. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. So don't wait. Get the relief you need. The information is free. So call the Accredited Debt Relief hotline now. Call 800-855-3366. That's 800-885-3366. Program and services not available in all states.
Hi, I'm Henry Winkler. My eyes are very important to me. My eyes connect me with everything I love. I loved my late father-in-law dearly. He always lit up a room, but his vision dimmed with age. He had age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. And since partnering with Apellis, I've learned there's an advanced form of dry AMD called geographic atrophy, or GA. His struggle with vision loss made me want to help others know about GA's warning signs. For some, colors appear dull or washed out. For others, hazy or blurred vision make it hard to see details, like fine print on price tags. Many have trouble seeing in the dark, making driving at night difficult. GA gets worse over time and cannot be reversed. If you think you have GA, don't wait. Treatments are available. Ask a retina specialist about FDA-approved treatments for GA and go to GAWon'tWait.com.
You're cruising down the highway, my voice blasting over the radio. You're in the zone, living the dream. Suddenly your car sputters, coughs, throws a wrench in your whole day. Tow trucks, repair bills. The dream turns into a nightmare. Don't wait until car trouble steals your peace of mind. Call CarShield right now. Here's the number, 800-898-6155. Or go to carshield.com/livein. The offer plans covering up to 5,000 parts and systems, from your engine and transmission to electronics and more. All for a low monthly rate that fits your budget. CarShield plans also include unlimited miles and rental options. 800-898-6155 or visit carshield.com/LEVIN. Join millions of customers like me and call CarShield right now and then you'll save 20%. Call 800-898-6155 or visit carshield.com/LEVIN. 800-898-6155 or carshield.com/LEVIN. Call now.
Fellow Americans, former CIA officer Jason Hansen here. Market instability and soaring debt have put your retirement at risk. For protection, I recommend diversifying into physical gold from Advantage Gold, a 5-star rated gold company I've used for years. Their customer service is unmatched. Call 800-741-GOLD now and say Jason Hansen sent you and get a free 2024 gold investing kit. Again, call 800-741-GOLD.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? We can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents or having to waste time showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your house to foreclosure. If you have equity in your home, we'll buy your home and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call now before your situation gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just need anymore and get the cash you need today. Call this number now.
Call 800-527-4903. That's 800-527-4903. 800-527-4903. Again, 800-527-4903.
Paid for by Airtime Media.
Amazing, the Democrats with their considerable cultural power have mainstreamed anti-Semitism and racism, keeping alive the legacy of the Democrat Party from the bullwhips and the plantations to Jim Crow and the KKK, standing in schoolhouse doors, you know, the Democrat Party and their legacy. Let's take another phone call. They love racism. It's their friend. Let's go to Pat, calling from Northern Neck, Virginia. I love the Northern Neck. Pat, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Chris. Blessings to you and to your family and to those that make your show so successful.
Thank you very much. It's very kind.
Well, I had called yesterday before I missed your show at, you know, the last of the noontime. But anyway, I called back, and the point being is I met O.J. Simpson back in August of 1971. I was 12 years old, and I'm originally from Niagara Falls, New York, and my uncle was a photographer and for the local newspapers up there in Buffalo and et cetera. So we were up there for a family reunion, and he said, hey, do you all want to go over to Niagara University and watch the Buffalo Bills practice, and you can meet O.J. Simpson? And my brother was with me and his two sons, my cousins and stuff, and I said, you know O.J. Simpson? He said, well, as a matter of fact, I do. And some of the team at Buffalo and Bills. And I said, oh, my gosh, really? No. And I thought, wait a minute, no way. So we went over there, piled in, went over to the university, and there they were, the Buffalo Bills practicing and stuff. So as a 12-year-old kid, you're excited. There you are, the NFL. And
sure.
So as we were standing there, next thing, they finished their practice, and they're walking off, going to the locker room. And here comes number 32. And my uncle yells over to him, O.J., O.J. And he said, oh, my gosh. He said, Ron, how you doing? And so he comes walking over, and I'm just standing there, my brother and, of course, two cousins, and I'm in awe. I mean, there he is, number 32.
Sure.
One of the most incredible running backs. I mean, and I'm saying this from as a 12-year-old kid and what he was to the NFL and to, you know, to the nation. And it's it was exciting, and I just was so beside myself. I'm, you know, like, are you really O.J. Simpson? And I'm just, he said, yes, I am.
Yes, I am. You should have told him, should have given him a heads up early on. Hey, later on, you know, listen, marriage can become complicated, and when you're divorced, you should probably let go. Just a little nugget go.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.